you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Deliciously different marijuana. Deliciously different marijuana.
The plain fact is that none of us know very much about this drug in any verifiable way.
Well, Bill, it's been about 2 hours since you got the drug. How do you feel?
Fantastic.
Would you be interested in taking part in a study like this again and having the same type of drug?
Sure.
You would. It's been a very pleasant experience for you.
I'll do it anytime you want.
Do you think it would be...
any time at all.
This is called any time of the day or night.
Marijuana is a memory loss drug, so maybe you just don't remember.
I would remember.
Well, how could you if it just erased your memory?
That's not how it works.
How do you know how it works?
Back it off, okay? I'm interviewing you.
No, you said that I'd be conducting the interview when I walked in here. Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
The best tonic is crack.
Pass it over to me.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Roll another one.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hey, Tina, come get some ham.
Balls.
Roll another one.
Smoke weed.
Just like the other one.
It's just Nature's way of saying hi.
Are you high?
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that. I wish you wouldn't smoke weed.
Just pass it around.
Butt hat.
Our feature presentation.
Well, it's hard to argue with that. Yes. It's 5:32 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ, and today is Friday, the 30th of May I See Them.
One day, if you're a girl, you look in the mirror, and there they'll be. Instead of a flat chest, two bumps. These are the beginnings of your breasts, and they're not there just to look pretty. They're useful, too.
They are useful. Sure. They can get you a job. They can get you jewelry. They can get you attention. They can make men love you. Otherwise, you're just useless.
Cheers.
And they give you something to look at when you're talking to them. What? What are you drinking? What's the cheers? What's the toast going on here, Ralph?
Just some coffee, man. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy. Morning wake up.
easy there, narc.
Well, you said cheers.
Yeah, all right.
I see you start with...
Okay, the man coming down. You want to give you some sort of test? You want to pee in a cup for you? You want some blood? Freaking narc.
There are occasions when you keep drinking because you stopped too late the night before. And I thought maybe this was one of those. Yeah, it was
those,
a
days are over. Those days are over.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you'll never drink again.
I'm just going to keep moving boxes for the rest of my life. That's all happening now. That's all that's going on.
You know, they have, I'm not sure if they have this in California. I know in Washington, they have companies you can call. You pick up the phone, you call them. They're called movers. And what they do is they come out and they pack up all of your stuff in boxes, and then they take it to your new house for you. Yes. Then you don't have to move all that.
Listen, Sammy Sarcasm, I'm well aware of the movers situation.
Oh, you have? They do have those in California? You could use those?
But here's the thing. We have not sold our home yet that we're currently in. We bought the new home, have not have sold the old home.
Best time of all time to sell a house, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's incredible. But the problem is that you need to show that home furnished. The realtors say you sell a home much more quickly if they see
you got to stage it, right.
Right. So we can't move all of our stuff over to the new house. We have to leave that stuff there. So we're just like, it's like little bits and pieces. You know what, we can take this thing, or we can take some of these clothes, but not these. And it's just, it's all done in piecemeal. It's just, it's crazy now. So we have to sort of do it ourselves little by little. And then once we sell this house, then we can just go ahead and have the movers come in and do everything, right.
Has the Batcave already been transported?
No, it has not yet.
Okay.
That's on lockdown. That's on security lockdown.
I hear you.
Because that's not something you want out for people when they come visit, is it? When they come,
that's already
look to
packed
buy the
up,
house.
I believe.
Well, I got a lot of stuff in behind glass and glass cases, which they can't get to unless they actually pull the case out. It opens from the back, much like Lisa May. And so that stuff is safe, but all the stuff that was on shelves and things that has been secured away in a highly secreted location that no one can ever know about. I believe, in fact, the only way to get my Batman stuff now is to throw a lot of metal into a large room and blow out the back of it and go downstairs into the freezing cold center of the island.
No, that's just lost.
That's right.
That's out of your house.
Did
that's
you watch
lost.
That last night?
I did.
Madness! It was great,
yes.
But it was madness! So much stuff was happening at the same time my brain cramped.
There's never been a show that I've watched. I'm sure there have been other shows that are more complex than Lost. There's never been one that I've watched that I can remember that you really needed to pay attention more or almost keep notes to refer back to who did what and when and why and how. And especially with all the time travel going on, it's very, very difficult to keep everything straight. I think at some point somebody needs to write a book where they just go by and explain it all to me.
You're like, whoa.
What they need to do is when the series is over, go back and re-edit it in chronological order.
Oh, that would be nice.
So we can see everything happen from the prequels all the way up through the time in the island to the post time on the island and then at the end. Because you're right. I needed a flow chart last night. It's like,
absolutely.
I remember Ben being someplace in a parka in another episode,
yes,
crawling around.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And so this must be from that. And then,
And what? How many seasons left? Just one or are there two left?
There's two left,
Two seasons left. Okay. So I would have to say, now that we've essentially, and this may be spoiler alert territory, so if you haven't seen last night's Lost, you may want to go away for a minute or two. But now we've essentially seen, and it did end up making sense, how they lost the island and how the ridiculous, what seemed at the time ridiculous explanation of how they, you know, the story they told when they got back about the island that they washed up on and stuff like that.
Right.
Now we see how all those pieces fit together, and I think they did a nice job of that. I think it all makes sense.
I do too.
So is the big question left for next season, at least, where the island moved to and then what continues to happen on the island for all those people who did not get off?
Is all the bad things that Jason Bentley or whatever the hell John Locke has called himself these days.
Jeremy Bentham.
Yeah.
He was a philosopher, and they always make these weird references to religion and philosophy.
Just like John Locke was, right.
But, I think John Locke really is the big open-ended question of the season for me.
Because he didn't get off. He wasn't a member of the Oceanic Six, or was he? Was that us last night finding out that he wasn't?
No, he was not. He was behind. But he came to them after they got back to the mainland. He came to them saying, horrible things are happening on the island. You have to come back. My theory is next season is Jack trying to get everyone in the flash forwards. Jack trying to get everyone to go back to the island, and then
good luck with that.
And then the current timeline will be showing horrible things happening to everyone left behind on the island.
Yes. Right. Now you remember a few weeks ago we had some discussion about whether Claire was dead because she showed up in Jacob's cabin.
Right.
We still don't know anything more on that. I still think she probably is. Last night it seemed like her appearance was just a dream. Right.
Yeah. Or was it? Who knows?
Don't do that to me.
Come on.
I didn't
think
she was dead when I saw her.
I don't think she's dead either.
Bean, you're the only one that thinks that.
No, I did too, because she definitely got blasted, you know, so we never knew what happened after that.
And she was
huge
in the cabin
attack
with other people that were dead.
Right. And the only other time she'd been seen before Kate had seen her in the dream in last night's episode was when someone saw her in that cabin, and that cabin is clearly a supernatural den of something where, you know, things like that go on. I automatically assumed that she was dead because also, I mean, Hurley was playing chess with Mr. Echo. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only time people were really seen was...
That's why I think there's dead and there's lost dead. You know what I'm saying?
Which isn't the same, yeah.
Which is, that's the island of miracles. That's where miracles happen, man.
Right.
You didn't get it.
But Jack's father was one of the guys who was in the cabin, for instance.
He was on the boat. Then he was hanging out with Michael on the boat.
He was hanging out on the boat. That's true.
It's but he was hanging out with Michael on the boat before he was, you know what I'm saying? Before the S hit the can.
Before the pink mist?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he just appeared.
Oh, I see. So he was like, time to come home, kind of like, join me.
Well,
we may have to smoke some butt hash to start to understand loss. I think that may be the only answer.
But it was a story a minute last night for 2 hours. It was just like, bang, 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 bang. They just kept giving you all kinds of stuff to make your head spin. But it was a great, great episode.
It was.
But they have officially crossed over into science fiction now, right? Can we all sign off on that?
Oh, certainly.
They're
always
sort of walking that line.
Right.
But last night, it was like, okay, Scotty, beam me up.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
They got transporters now, and bunnies traveling through time and disappearing islands and turn the wheel. Boom, and just things, just giant islands go away. I'm like, okay, now I just give myself over. I'm just there now.
If this were the first episode of Lost you ever saw, you might laugh at people who have been so obsessed with it for the last three seasons because it is such a stretch of the imagination.
It is nutty. It is absolutely
like you
nutty.
Said, the fact that a guy in a parka is turning a wheel to move an island. I mean, how did we all get to the point where we're willing to accept that on our show?
I don't know, but I'm back on board in a big way.
Because
so,
it certainly started out with at least one-footed reality.
Yes.
Sea blight.
It seemed like initially the series seemed to be a suspense story. About people in a creepy place who got stranded on an island, but you got the sense it was a story of survival and sort of about the dynamics, the relationships between these castaways. But no, not anymore. Now it's just balls to the wall, nutty.
Yeah, now it's summoning the smoke monster to do your killing is what it is.
Hey,
now.
Speaking of which, and I'm sorry for those people who aren't into Lost or didn't watch Lost last night, but I can't help but think about it. I've been thinking about it all last night and this morning. What I know I missed a little bit when I was sort of off the Lost bandwagon,
right.
But when did Desmond lose the ability to see the future? Didn't he used to have a gift where he could see everything coming
yes.
when Charlie was going to be killed? He saw that whole era, he could see into the future and glimpse
they
it.
They
right?
have not visited that at all this whole season.
They just dropped it.
They just dropped it. Right, or
he didn't get hit in the head by a coconut or something and it took his power
no.
away?
But Desmond really couldn't see into the future whenever he wanted. He could only see people dying. Remember? It wasn't as if he could totally see.
No, he saw a disaster happen. It wasn't just people dying. He saw, like, the lightning hit Claire's little lean-to there on the beach and stuff. He would see. We had premonitions of disasters.
Right.
He would see them clearly.
Let me ask you this, guys. Mm-hmm. Mike, you seem to have a better memory for what we've already seen than I do. Is it possible that he caught up? He saw everything that was happening up until a present time, at which point now he was caught up and that wasn't happening anymore. Something like that.
I mean, that's definitely a possibility because this whole last season seemed to be based around letting us know that the big special kind of quality to the island was the fact that it could shift time and space. So there's a good possibility that maybe him and his life and all his different, you know, like you said, time changes have finally caught up to him and he's living in real time.
Day,
yeah, so.
Yeah, I don't.
Could be.
I was just wondering, why didn't he see just all the C4? I would like a little glimpse of that before we went into the hay.
True.
Start working on that a little sooner.
Yeah, you could actually make some better decisions about, I don't know, landing a helicopter on a boat and things if you knew it was going to blow up. That's a good point.
I was just curious, maybe I'd miss something.
Like you said, maybe we need to go smoke some butt hash and sit back and look rewatch these movies or these shows. But I was thinking to myself last night, what drugs are they using to write this?
Yeah.
I mean, as I was watching this 2 hour, I was like, just this 2 hour episode, let alone the past seasons and all, what is going through your brain to sit down with a PC and go, okay, I'm going to write a show and that comes out. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow.
Yeah, just,
wow.
They are. They're
good
baked.
Things.
They're baked when they're working on it. Absolutely.
Right.
And I was thinking last night, it was remarkable to me. I used to think they're just throwing stuff up against the wall and seeing what sticks, you know? But so much stuff came around again last night that really tied into stuff they had laid the seeds for earlier, like sometimes a season ago. You know, it was remarkable how they kind of tied it all together.
Well done,
Lost writers. Well done.
Yeah. Will they ever go back to the polar bears? Will we ever find out why polar bears were on the island and that one episode in the desert?
Well, I thought last night when Ben kicked through the ice and went into the frozen center of the island. It's apparently like a Klondike bar or something. It's got a frozen center. I said, ooh, it's frosty cold down there. It's like it's Arctic down there. Maybe that's where the polar bears come in.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
When's it coming back, Ralph?
Fall? I think
as soon as the fall or not till next year. Last year, remember, it debuted after the first.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. Frankly, I would just be speculating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good times last night, and now we're done. That's the last of all of the regular season shows.
That's true. Yeah,
ended, right now they're all gone.
Good, because I now may not have television for the next 6 months.
Now it's moment of truth, and that's it.
So. The mole's coming back, though.
Oh, no.
We got the mole.
Seriously?
Dear God.
And we got Jingles coming on in July.
Well, there's
a story about that. We got Jingles.
Kevin apparently in Vegas. That's still my theory. He can make up all he wants. That it's something coming on. I don't know what it is.
Guys, I'm not feeling so well. I probably won't be in tomorrow.
When it's a Friday, come on.
Yeah.
You got to try a little bit harder. We need some sort of a doctor's note or something. If it's a Friday and you're Kevin, believe me, we all know what's going on.
What a sucker Kevin is.
Or yeah. He celebrated so hard after the Lakers victory last night that he's got blood alcohol poisoning.
Speaking of Lakers, by the way, Laker correspondent Flea will be joining us this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, bass player for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is a hardcore Laker fan, writes a Laker blog, the whole deal. He's got to be over the moon today about that big win last night. And we'll talk to him on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat. I'd appreciate it, Ralph, if you just didn't mention Sex and the City. If we just pretended that wasn't out there, and then maybe select some films instead that people want to go see.
Oh, stop.
Bean, I would, but, you know.
That's not fair to eliminate all the females.
You know, I'm
audience.
All about the ladies. I got to give the ladies a little something today. You know?
Yeah, that's not
Pam Anderson?
I got to give them Pam Anderson. Yeah.
Also, the
hey,
return
Regis,
of.
Tell me about Oreos.
Also, the return of Spencer, the love dispenser on the program.
Oh, good. Good.
Haven't caught up with Spence lately, but he certainly can save your relationship the way he saved his. He's good at it.
Well, apparently they're getting very close to marriage now, those two. So maybe he's got something. Maybe he knows something we don't.
Beer Mug is going to attempt another Guinness World Record eating challenge today.
Really?
Yes, he is. Now, really? I know it seems like we do the same thing every week and he fails badly every week. We are trying hard behind the scenes to play to his strengths. And so far, his big problem has been not swallowing enough. Same thing with Lisa. But he.
It's not my problem.
No, it's never been her problem.
So what we're trying today is something that he can drink.
Okay, oh, so we've just given up on solid foods completely?
Well,
we got to do something.
What are we eventually going to see? How fast he can take an IV? We're going to lay him down and just see how quickly he can absorb saline?
No, it's still a Guinness eating challenge, but it's a liquid. But I'll explain. I'll explain, and he'll try it just after 7 o'clock this morning, see if we can get the boy in the Guinness book. That's definitely what we're going to be trying. Also, Florida blows. We've got the evidence. The MTV Movie Awards are in town this weekend, happening live on Sunday with Mike Myers as your host. We got tickets that you can win. I think we got some audio from some of the participants of the Project Revolution. They had a big press conference yesterday, and our man Kevin, one of his final acts before heading to the airport for Vegas, he was down there with the K-Rock microphones. I think we've got something on that. Linkin Park, for instance, is going to be interviewed in that. And Amy Winehouse, a charming, beautiful, lovely, delicate flower. We've got a great news story on her. And I think we may talk to Miss Winehouse coming up after 6 o'clock this morning. Wow. Did I miss anything? Did I cover everything?
No, I think everything is covered. We're talking about, I guess we did.
That's a big show. And, of course, Ralph Show Biz Beat every hour, including next, right after this, in the world famous. That's real good right there. That's Muse on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Your tickets for the MTV Movie Awards happening this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the first Show Biz Beat for a new Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, as I was watching Lost last night, I said the world has just turned upside down. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was right when I heard the story that Clay Aiken was going to be a dad.
I heard this story. Unbelievable. Last night, I was just, my mouth dropped open. Oh, and I saw him being interviewed. He's so fat.
He has gained 400 pounds.
I didn't recognize him.
Pregnancy weight. You know how that works.
He looks
guys.
Like he ate Reuben Studdard. That's how fat he is now. Apparently, he has donated his sperm to a 50-year-old woman who's his best friend.
No. This story does have everything, and it sounds like Ralph is making it up.
No. Nope.
I know.
Clay has impregnated a 50-year-old woman named James Foster. She is a chick named James, and she's the sister of David Foster, legendary record mogul and producer, who I believe has participated in Clay Aiken's records. Clay's best friend. She's divorced with no kids. Clay reportedly stays at her home when she's in Los Angeles. There's a phrase for women who like to hang around gay guys.
Yeah.
And apparently, though, don't get excited, Clay did donate the sperm via artificial insemination.
Now, let me ask you guys this. It's not uncommon for an older woman who never had children, who gets to that point in their life where she decides she wants to do that, to have a friend help out in this manner, right? I mean,
right.
We have seen that story in real life many times before. This one's notable because of the celebrity involved,
yes.
But it does happen, right?
Yes, yeah. Sure.
Although 50-year-old women getting pregnant seems like a really bad idea.
It's just physically it's a bad idea.
It is.
The health of the baby and the mother.
And the age of the mother when the baby's 10.
And Clay Aiken being 20. Your dad.
Yeah.
Right. That seems unhealthy.
And doesn't he say he wants to participate?
TMZ.com says Clay wants to have an active role in raising the child as well.
Oh, God. No, 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 no.
It's not just that he's gained 100 pounds. Whatever he's doing with his hair, and has he plucked all of his eyebrows out, Lisa? Is that what makes his face look so alien-esque right now?
It looks like it. Something really weird going on.
Clay says
on,
he can't wait to be a mom. And will as soon as the hormone therapy takes effect. It looks like he's getting ready for the operation. That's what it looks like lately.
100%.
He's getting soft and curvy, and he's plucking his eyebrows, and he's growing his hair long.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, he is... well on his way to transgenderville.
He has that waxy face. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like really shiny. Oh, Ralphie.
What it is.
You know what I'm saying? Like
spackle.
He's already delved way too deep into plastic surgery, but he's like 27. I don't understand why his face looks like that. It's really odd.
Ralph may be onto something, and soon we'll see him wearing dresses and developing breasts.
Yes.
And see, that's why he wouldn't be gay. That's why
right.
He said he's not gay.
He's a woman trapped in a man's body.
Exactly.
That's what he is. It's trans America. God bless. Charlie Sheen's getting married tonight.
Oh.
I'm telling you, the world's
idiot.
Going to hell. The world's going to hell in a handbasket.
He can't pick him.
He and girlfriend Brooke Mueller are set to tie the knot in a secret location this evening. So look around. See if you see Charlie getting married anywhere. And that's,
maybe that's where Kevin
and
went.
You'll be in the secret location. That could be. He's going to the secret wedding. Of course, Charlie's ex, Denise Richards, may actually show up to the wedding.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Because Charlie's two daughters are invited to participate in the ceremony, and she's going to have to accompany them. So, yeah, that could be a fun dust-up after a couple of glasses of wine at the reception.
And she'll show up with TV cameras for her reality program, I'm sure.
Oh, that just wouldn't fly, I don't think. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his wife, Danny Garcia, are splitting up.
What's going on today, Ralph?
They're divorcing. TMZ.com says each of them will shell out $5,000 a month for a trust fund for their 7-year-old daughter Simone to be used for college, which is a nice. It's nice to see parents cooperating when it comes to money for their kids. Rock, of course, will have to pay $22,000 a month in child support, but it doesn't mention anything about alimony here. So maybe they had something worked out. I don't know.
By the way, Alex, our producer, speaks for all women when she says what a great week this has been for single gals to see The Rock now available and George Clooney now available in the same week.
That's
well,
true.
There's that, yeah.
Apparently, Lindsay Lohan, I'm sorry,
Lindsay Lohan,
doesn't have the same cachet when it comes to pulling in an audience that Britney Spears does. Lindsay was on Ugly Betty this week.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
She made a short appearance last week.
I've never
too.
Seen an episode of Ugly Betty.
I watch it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Was Lindsay Lohan any good on
it's
Ugly Betty?
It's not a good show.
I haven't seen this week's episode, but last week she did fine.
It was sort of stunt casting the way Britney was over on How I Met Your Mother. But it didn't do much for the show's ratings. It only picked up 300,000 more viewers than normal.
I don't think seeing Lindsay on TV is all that unusual. I mean, she has been in movies and stuff on like
Britney's maybe that's
one
it.
Movie.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But not a big boost.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan.
And speaking of actors, the Screen Actors Guild went back to the bargaining table yesterday in its talks with Hollywood producers. We've got about 30 days left to negotiate a new contract before the old one expires on June 30th. So keep your fingers crossed. Maybe we can avoid a strike this summer.
Might you be walking the picket line this summer, Ralph?
If I have free time and they go on strike, I might be called to duty, yeah.
Oh, I hope we don't get to that point.
Gotta do the right thing, man. Today's celebrity birthdays: Ted McGinley. Oh, Teddy the
Showkiller.
He, of course, from Married with Children and Happy Days and Hope and Faith and all your other favorite TV programs.
Revenge of the Nerds, remember?
Revenge of the Nerds, yeah.
Wayne's World.
That's right, Wayne's World.
I love Ted.
For about 10 seconds.
50 years old today. Tom Morello of Audioslave and Rage Against the Machine is 44 years old today. And CeeLo from Gnarls Barkley turns 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Why are they so good, by the way? I know that's a difficult question for you to answer because they clearly just have talent, but they're so good.
Why don't you ask them Monday?
I guess I could.
You say, hey, Chris Martin and Coldplay, why are you so good?
I don't know how he would answer that, but we are looking forward to the interview. They are in town, of course, for the MTV Movie Awards. They'll be performing live. We have tickets you can win for that later on this morning. And then they join us Monday morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6:25.
Florida's got to go.
Yeah.
That's what I've come to.
What do you mean?
That's Florida's got to go. We have to.
No problems with that
idea.
We got
to send down the Army Corps of Engineers with some jackhammers, some of those hydraulic jackhammers, and just chisel away at the peninsula until Florida snaps off and floats into the Atlantic. That's my new plan.
This isn't still because they honked up the 2000 election.
Oh, that's the least of their problems these days. Florida,
really?
If you look at a newspaper, if you pick up a newspaper like the USA Today that covers national stories, just look at what happens in Florida.
Florida?
It's got to go. They're messed up down there beyond all hope of reconciliation with the rest of us.
What are you talking about? What's going on in Florida that's got you so upset?
I got an ass full of stories, but let's start with the 101-year-old woman.
Ooh, yeah.
Tallahassee,
stop
Florida.
It. Yes.
She doesn't look a day over 90, Lisa. Come on.
She is a youthful 101. She just got her driver's license renewed by the state of Florida.
She is still driving?
Yes, Lisa. She started driving in 1915, Lisa.
Well, then she's really good at it. She's got a lot of experience.
She does have a lot of practice. She got her license renewed, and this current license will be good until 2011.
So she'll three years?
She will be clogging the intercoastal highway for lots of years.
At that age, they shouldn't renew it for more than 3 or 4 months.
When you
start to go down, you go down fast.
Yeah, you're
That's
right.
She said.
Yes.
Do you think she had to take a driver's test? Do you think she had to physically get in the car with an instructor and drive? Or is it just a renewal by mail kind of deal with her?
Well, they can't do it by mail when you're that old. They can't.
I think in California, if you're over, it's either 65 or 70, I think you actually have to take the test. You can't just renew it automatically.
But here's the thing. California is a state that isn't insane.
Right.
This is Florida we're talking about, people.
Everybody there's old, so they probably just let the old people do whatever they want.
Here's a little of the coverage of the local news station, Channel 6 down there in Florida, talking about Lillian Cox, 101-year-old Tallahassee native who just got her new license.
You know you have to be 16 to drive here in Florida, but as far as when to stop driving, there's no limit to that.
So, Lillian Cox, she's 101 years old, and she just got a new driver's license. She says drivers don't mind her age. Lillian not only has a license, it's renewed until 2011 when she'll be 105. Mm. She's been driving since 1915.
Wow, and she looks like she's still very, you know, very
with
alert, very with it.
She's
for
a beautiful woman. Boy, she looks great.
She sure does.
101.
My looks
goodness.
Great.
Can we all stop pretending it's okay that a 101-year-old woman is behind the wheel of a car?
They're like, isn't that
wow,
great?
Wow, look, she still is breathing. Wow, that's great. She looks
wow
good. Hey.
She got into the car under her own power. That was impressive.
Lillian said she's been invited to The Tonight Show with Jay Leno to appear and talk about her license at 101. Can we stop celebrating this woman?
Right.
Instead, we should put her down? Is that what you're saying? Ralph, look,
well,
you don't
not let her in a vehicle.
You don't make Florida an island just because they have one spry senior citizen who's still sharp enough to drive. That's not reason enough.
How about this, Your Honor? I submit to the court the story of a Florida kindergarten teacher who had her kids vote on which of their classmates to be voted out of the class and find a new classroom.
What?
It was like an episode of Survivor, Lisa.
Yeah. Was this process in democracy? Or what was this about?
No, apparently there's one little boy named Alex Barton in a kindergarten class in Florida. And apparently the teacher, Wendy Portillo, recognized that the other kids didn't like Alex and let them vote him off the island.
Well, that's what you should do with unpopular kids is you should shun them. You should get the larger group to turn their backs on them.
Much like the tribal council on Survivor, she let little Alex get up in front of the room, and each of the kids had a chance to tell Alex what they didn't like about him.
Now, how old are these kids? What grade is this?
This is kindergarten, Bean. We're talking about
4 year olds.
Hey, it's a tough world, man. And that kid hadn't learned it one way or another.
4 and 5 year olds.
What was wrong with this kid?
Well, he was unliked by his classmates. Oh, I forgot to mention, he also has Asperger's disorder.
No.
A little sympathy for you, Bean. And ADHD as well.
Oh.
So the kid's got all kinds of honked up problems, including autism. And the kids noticed that he was a little different, as kids can be very cruel.
Oh, yeah. Especially at that age.
They mocked and shunned him. And so the teacher, Wendy Portillo, decided to take it upon herself to let the kids just vote Alex out of the class.
What a bitch!
Alex lost the vote 14-2.
Oh.
And was, it's like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
It's like kids deciding who gets to go and who gets to stay. And
so does he have to apply at other kindergarten classes now to try to get into their class since they didn't want him in his?
Well, Alex's folks have since moved him to another school, but Alex's mom, Melissa, still wants Wendy fired.
She hasn't been fired?
No, Lisa. She's been reassigned to another class.
Are you serious?
It's like a Catholic priest.
Yeah,
they go to a different church.
Keep moving her.
All right, what state did that happen in, though?
That was in Florida, Bean.
Oh,
the great state of Florida.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Or how about the Florida teenager who was going to spend 3 years in a juvenile jail after being convicted of robbing a 9-year-old Girl Scout of her Girl Scout cookie money in West Palm Beach, Florida.
God.
All right, well, that's kind of funny.
It's not funny. The defendant, an 18-year-old girl, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Was convicted of driving the getaway car after her friend grabbed $168 from the girl outside a local store in January.
I want a new reality show that has the little Asperger's 4-year-old, that has the 18-year-old and the Girl Scout and the 101-year-old driver. I want them all to be living in a house.
I do, too. I want to live on an island called Florida when we chip it off from our nation.
Is that how you do it? You chip it?
You got to chip it off with like a chisel. You just got to go all along the dotted line there. You know, the
dotted
lines that divide the states. When you go there to the state, you can see the line actually like on the map where it's divided. Just chip along there.
If you just shake Georgia, I think you'd get Florida come off on its own. I don't even think it'd be that much work, actually.
Apparently, a psychiatrist that was court-appointed to take a look at this young lady said she began drinking at the age of 14 and uses a cornucopia of drugs that include marijuana, cocaine, heroin, Xanax, and LSD.
Woo-hoo.
Good times.
Yeah. So she's out there robbing 9-year-old Girl Scouts.
Oh.
All right. I will admit that in the last week or so, there have been some stories out of Florida that do make me question whether it should
just
be
just last week. It's always Florida.
Always.
There's a lot of Florida happening. That's true.
Florida?
Why don't we – I know you can't really object to this because they will speak English if we call. Let's call the great state of Florida. What do you say we call them up and find out what's going on down there?
I'd love to call Florida.
Really?
And tell them just to step off.
Because I know you hate the long-distance calls to get more information on stories, but –
Well, isn't that long distance?
I can stay within the country.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Are we going to call now or are we going to take a break and we're going to come back?
We got to take a break. We got to take a break and come right back. Okay. Then we'll call Florida and find out what the heck is in the water down there. What is going on in this crazy state?
And we can also ask them when we get a chance about the nude housekeeper that stole $40,000 from her client.
That happened this week, too?
In Florida.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Friday, and I guess, Ralph, your message is thank God that we're in California and not with Florida so much because they're off the rails out there.
Thank God you're anywhere else except for Florida. Apparently the rest of the country, all right, for the most part. Florida is just nuts. It's like the whole country tilts and all the lunatics just end up down there in that corner of the world.
Well, just look with the elections. There's the thing that's going on right now because they moved the date of their primary.
Right.
So we got that whole mess. And then, you know, back in 2002.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the whole Bush thing.
Exactly.
And then just in general, trailer parks.
Well, Ralph was telling us, if you're just joining us during the Green Day song, he was telling us about a 5-year-old who was voted out of his kindergarten classroom, like on Survivor, because the kids didn't like him.
Right.
Then I guess she told us about the 18-year-old girl who robbed a 9-year-old Girl Scout of her cookie money.
Mm-hmm.
To buy drugs, right? Then you had the 101-year-old woman who just had her driver's license renewed.
Right.
You had that going on down there in Florida. And you said there's something going on with a nude housekeeper story, too, right?
Yeah, a nude housekeeper stole $40,000 worth of jewelry from her client. Guy found her on the internet. She said she cleans houses in the nude. Showed up. cleaned his house and cleaned him out, apparently. Took $40,000 worth of his wife's jewelry.
Ooh.
And by the way, the wife was not home, was out of town, by the way, when he hired this young lady to come over and strip down and clean his house. So he's got a lot of splaining to do.
He does. How did she get the stuff out of the house, I dare ask?
That's what I'm wondering.
An inside job, so to speak?
It was smuggled. She apparently she had a false bottomed vulva.
By the way,
they're going to play it.
This is not a history of crazy things that have happened in Florida in the last 100 years.
No.
This is all in the last. Am I lying if I say in the last 10 days?
Not at all.
All of this has happened.
All that happened last week and a half.
Wow.
And it's got to go. And it's got to go.
Who do we have? What numbers do we have in Florida, Mike? Who can we call here?
We are going to call first the Bristol, Florida Piggly Wiggly.
Okay.
Okay.
Florida?
All right. Love the Piggly Wigglies.
How can you love the Piggly Wiggly? It just sounds awesome. Like a place where people don't have a lot of teeth.
Yep. I've got Piggly Wiggly t-shirts. It's a supermarket chain, of course. All right. So the goal is to call and say what? What's up with Florida or?
Yeah. What's up?
Okay.
Good morning, Ramsey Piggly Wiggly. Can I help you?
Hi. Good morning. It's Kevin and Bean Show calling. We're on the air at K-Rock in Los Angeles. How are you today?
Fine.
Great. We're having this conversation about all the crazy news stories that are coming out of Florida right now, and we're trying to figure out what's wrong with you people.
rudeness, apparently. Rudeness is one of the problems.
Wow.
How dare she? You know what? That's the problem. They're living in denial down there in Florida. They don't want to recognize that they're all honked up.
These stories have to be making news in their state, too. They have to know what I'm talking about say crazy stories, right?
For all we know, Lillian Cox, the 101-year-old driver, shops at the Piggly Wiggly.
Do you guys want to go back to her, or do we want to go somewhere else?
Let's move on. Okay. I think so,
too.
I don't think I like her.
All right, I tell you what. Who are you calling this time, Michael?
I'm going to go for Bill's Mini Mart in Tallahassee.
Okay.
Right. I get a good feeling about Bill. I think he'll
Ralph, we saw how I did getting the story across. Why don't you try this one?
Absolutely.
And then when you fail, we'll have Lisa try.
All right.
what city is this in, Mike?
Tallahassee.
Tallahassee. Well, they got to know about
Florida?
Lillian.
Oh, yeah. That's her town, right?
Yeah.
She was born before Tallahassee was founded, though.
Before America was founded. Come on, Bill.
Part of it is old people, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of old people in Florida. That's got to be part of it.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
All right.
You're talking to the Kevin and Bean Show here in Los Angeles. We're on the air. We wanted to ask you a few questions about... Hello?
What?
Wow.
I never thought I'd say these words. I did worse than Bean.
Oh, my gosh.
Sheesh.
Wow.
Lisa?
Is it the O.J. factor? Could that be part of it? Did he taint the whole state?
I don't remember Florida being honked up before O.J. moved down there.
They've been crazy for a long, long time.
All right. Lisa, we're going to West Palm Beach. You can talk to either the 7-Eleven there or the McDonald's. Your choice.
Ooh, let's do 7-Eleven. Right. McDonald's is probably really busy.
Okay.
Yeah. Florida?
All right. Last chance to get some explanation as to why Florida is so honked up. They're not polite. I think we've put our finger on that.
Sure. They're surly Southerners. Yeah, how you doing? No, hang up on you. They're like the 909 of America, Florida is.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's an excellent analogy.
Yeah. Morning,
except with beaches.
Hi, yeah, good morning. This is K-Rock, a radio station in Los Angeles. Do you have just 1 second? We want to ask you a question.
Sorry, I don't have a time. Thank you.
Wow.
How busy is he?
Businesses. I mean, 7-Eleven. They're probably
I'm saying, though. Right? Run on Slurpees down there in Florida.
Beef jerky.
Do we want to just go to a failsafe? We have Comfort Keepers Retirement Home.
Yes.
All right. Let's try one more. And Mike, why don't you try it?
Because seriously, they can't be busy.
No. It's just God's waiting room. They're just waiting for to wheel the bodies out.
Last chance. Why is Florida crazy? And by the way, if we don't get some answers here, I think we are going to have to contact, who did you say? The
Army Corps of Engineers?
Yeah. I think we're going to have to contact them and get them to start putting some dynamite in there to separate that state for the rest of the union.
Go back
to 49.
A few well-placed C4 charges. That thing's coming right off.
That's right, man.
Comfort
Keepers,
can I help you?
Hi, baby doll. This is Mike. I'm on the Kevin and Bean Show here in Los Angeles. It's a radio station. We're on the air. We're in California. We have some questions on the way you guys handle your business down there in Florida. Do you have a second to talk to us?
No, sir, not right now. I'm very busy.
You are?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Busy hanging out.
I had her. Hey, baby doll. Is how you start, by the way.
Come on. I was just being myself. I got her on the phone a lot longer than all you three.
That's true.
Well, if you're just joining us,
bedpans are filling up. She had to rush off. Goddamn Florida.
I have to tell you, we've had better luck with foreign countries that don't speak English. At least
by
they don't.
Exactly. All right, let's call Brazil and ask them what's up with Florida then.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Hotness. Coming up after the news at 7, Beer Mug attempts another Guinness World Record eating challenge. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph, what's going on? This doesn't sound like the showbiz beat.
Death, the final frontier.
It's a bad week to be a guy who writes theme songs for TV shows.
I'll tell you
that much.
No way.
Another one?
Remember earlier this week I told you that Earl Hagen, the guy who did the whistling on the Andy Griffith Show,
he passed away. Yeah, he wrote that theme song, right?
Yeah. And now, Alexander Courage.
Oh, what a great name.
Composer responsible for this little tune, the theme from the original Star Trek TV series. He has passed away.
Wow.
At the age of 88 years old. What would we do without this song?
Well, it is a classic. And I'm telling you what, did you ever hear the story about how Gene Roddenberry ripped this dude off?
No.
Oh, it's legendary. They hired this guy who apparently was a big time, I don't know much about Mr. Courage, but apparently he was a big time movie scoring guy.
Yeah, he did My Fair Lady, Hello Dolly, Fiddler on the Roof, a lot of big movie musicals.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So they hired him to do the theme for Star Trek, which he did. And Gene Roddenberry, being, say what you will about Mr. Roddenberry, a brilliant businessman, he engineered some sort of a handshake deal with Alexander Courage, the guy who wrote this music, that said, look, if I write words to this, I get half the publishing. And even though they never used the words, he wrote words to it that never made it onto the TV show, were never even recorded for the TV show, and took half of the residuals from every episode that Star Trek's music was used on, even though the words weren't used.
Smart dude.
Wow.
How about that?
Have you ever heard the lyrics?
I've read them. I've never heard anyone sing them.
Nichelle Nichols, who played Lieutenant Uhura in the show,
yeah,
actually recorded the theme song with the lyrics. Yeah. And they're horrible. As I fly out into the sky. It's just horrible, horrible stuff. So Alexander Courage dead at the age of 88. So that's sad.
Well, he got the last laugh. He way outlived Gene Roddenberry by at least 20 years, though.
That's true. Gene can't spend his cash. Speaking of people who have gone where no one has gone before, James Foster, 50-year-old woman, has gone where no woman has gone before. Apparently, because she is pregnant. And the baby daddy?
Yes.
Is Clay Aiken.
Yeah. Unexpected?
Yeah. Like, if you were to write a list yesterday of the top 10,000 celebrities you expect to hear get somebody pregnant, Clay Aiken would not have made the list.
The homosexual is right.
TMZ.com says that Clay will be the father to James's baby. Her name again, James Foster. She is the sister of record mogul and producer David Foster, and apparently is Clay's best friend. She's also 50 years old.
Dude.
There's nothing more attractive than an aging woman hanging around a young gay guy. That's just spiritually uplifting to watch.
It's a good crew.
That partnership.
Another reality show waiting to happen, by the way. Clay and Grandma raising a kid.
In case you think maybe Clay has decided to play for the other team, he, in fact, artificially inseminated 50-year-old James Foster. So there was no actual sexual contact, apparently.
Well, it would have been icky to do it with a girl.
Yeah, and get down there to the bad place. But he wants to have an active role in raising the child, so looks like Clay's in it for keeps.
Huh. It's always a good time.
Don't even know what that means. Would you like to make a lot of money?
Sure.
Then get your cameras and go out and follow Miley Cyrus. Apparently, the Los Angeles Times is reporting that the tabloids are saying the first photograph that someone can get of Miley Cyrus kissing a boy
will
pay $30,000 to $150,000.
That's quite a range.
How about some teenagers?
Yes, yes, Rodney. If it's a teenager, if it's a standard teenager that you don't know, that nobody knows, it's just about $30,000 for Miley kissing a boy. However, the high end is if her partner in crime is one of the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, she dated one of those.
Yeah, dated one of those guys. So if you can find her macking with one of the Jonas Brothers, then you can make $150,000 on the
picture. Damn.
For one photograph.
I know I ask this question several times a week, but why do people care what these celebrities do?
I am at a loss. I don't know.
Who? I mean, if there were a picture of Miley Cyrus kissing a boy, would you ever go out of your way to see that? Would it have hold any interest for you whatsoever?
No, but we are hardly the target audience of Hannah Montana.
True.
You know? There are passionate fans out there who live and breathe and die for everything that she does, so they would probably be interested.
But this isn't a I mean, you're not talking that kind of money for the Tiger Beat audience. This is for the People magazines and people like that. I mean, who regular grown-ups read.
Do you know that, though? I mean, maybe they are. I mean, this is the Jonas Brothers kissing Miley Cyrus is really the Brad and Angelina of the tweens, if you think of it. I mean, you know, so maybe it is just that income coming driving from the tweens.
And she has been high profile with all the internet photos that have surfaced recently with her in various states of undress, lifting her shirt up and, you know, being all saucy and minxy at the age of 15. So maybe there is some interest there. But I think it's more than just Miley Cyrus. It's sort of an all-encompassing preoccupation with celebrities in general that this country seems to be struggling with. It really is kind of nutty.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think you guys know, man.
Of course, then again, if there wasn't that preoccupation, I wouldn't be able to do this once an hour. So who am I to complain? I'm part of the problem, man. I'm not part of the solution.
You're just doing what you're paid to do, though, Ralph.
I feel dirty. I feel dirty now. Speaking of dirty, Kristen Davis is looking for a man.
Yeah. Oh, really?
She, of course, is in the news because the big Sex and the City movie opens all over the world today. She tells In Touch magazine that she is looking for a new man. She wants a man that can communicate, she says, is creative, and likes independent women.
Game.
And doesn't mind snapping a few photos when she's on her knees doing the deed.
I'm not really unfamiliar with the pole.
No, you're not, Kristen Davis. I'd love those photos. How come that wasn't more of a story? Those photos were good.
They were.
She looked great.
Yeah.
I like meat.
Yeah, she did. Yes, she does. Yes, she will. Today's celebrity birthdays. Let's take a look, shall we? CeeLo of Gnarls Barkley turns 34 years old today. Our buddy Tom Morello of Audioslave and Rage is 44. Wynonna Judd. Yeehaw. She's 44 years old today. There's a big girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sure is. And by the way, she had to have grown up her whole life looking at Ashley and going, what happened? What?
Looking at her mom.
That's brutal.
And her mom, come to think of it, too. Yeah.
Spectacularly hot at 60 or whatever she is. And she looks like the before picture in a Jenny Craig's ad.
Her and China Kardashian have like a help group that they go and talk about.
Yes, I'm a sister of a hottie. Hi, sister of a hottie.
My mom's hot, too. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
By the way, this isn't us just piling on because she's a little overweight. I mean, her face. Look at her face compared to the face of her mother and the face of her sister. I mean, it's just like you can't believe it all came from the same gene pool.
It might look better if she weren't heavy. It's hard to tell.
That's true. It's hard to see what her face looks like with all
that
flesh
surrounding it. I think she would actually kind of look like her mom.
Yeah. I think she's got face disease, personally. And actor Ted McGinley, our buddy from Married with Children and Happy Days and Hope and Faith, and I think he's been on every television show ever aired.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's entertaining, too, by the way. There's something about Ted that I enjoy watching. I'm not saying he's a great actor or anything like that, but he always likeable. Makes it seem more enjoyable, yeah.
He sure is good looking.
Handsome guy.
He's a handsome
good-looking dude. Yeah.
He's 50 years old today, so happy birthday, Ted. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I guess what I'm saying is you send your dog out to bring in the newspaper 7 times in a row, and the dog chews the newspaper up 7 times in a row. Do you send the dog out the 8th time in a row, or do you give up and get a new dog?
Do you want the dog to get your paper?
Then
you have to keep trying to train him. That's all I'm saying.
It takes time.
You got to give love and support, and you have to be the bigger man. Be bigger man than your dog is a man. What?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. We're talking about Beer Mug. We're talking about his latest attempt.
I know it's hard to tell, but we're talking about Beer Mug.
I know. We're talking about
expletive juice.
No. We're talking about Beer Mug.
Come on.
And his latest attempt to break a Guinness World Record eating challenge. Briefly recapping now, Easter Peeps failed. Powdered donuts failed.
Yeah.
Peeled and eaten bananas failed.
Right.
Milkshake was not successful.
Right.
Chicken soft tacos, he did break the record.
But matzo balls.
Matzo balls, not so much. Chicken nuggets,
no. What is your point here, Bean?
My point is the boy's 0-7, and the only reason I keep saying yes to this is that he convinces me with his enthusiasm before each challenge that this is the one, Bean. I'm telling you what, this one's in my wheelhouse. This is the one I can handle.
Well, I think that's true. We just had to find the right thing for Beer Mug, and I absolutely think we've done it this time.
We've had a lot of off-the-air discussions about why Beer Mug fails so badly, and I think part of what we've come up with, and Mug, you would agree with this, right, is you have trouble swallowing. right?
I do have something with my esophagus that's just not working out for me.
You know, I should work with you between challenges.
Yeah.
Lisa could teach all about swallowing. I'm down for that.
I
just find it odd that you have a swallowing problem and yet you choose competitive eating to be your milieu.
Hey, you know about the legless runner has no legs. He just got, you know, he runs. He does it.
Yeah, but you don't have a prosthetic throat.
That's right. Prosthetic throat, by the way. Playing Acoustic Christmas this year.
But here's what we came up with, Mug, and tell me if you think this is good logic or not. Because your problem seems to be chewing and swallowing food, we've come up with a near liquid challenge. And I know that you're a great drinker. I mean, you got no problem pushing them back on the weekends, right?
That is true.
On the weekends. The weekdays, morning, noon, dusk,
he's
dawn.
Drunk right now.
So the record that we have chosen for you is the one that is currently held by South Dakotan Levi Johnson. Levi drank 5.5 ounces of Tabasco hot sauce in 30 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. 30 seconds. It is hot.
That's hot. 5.5 ounces in 30 seconds.
This, by the way, doable, right?
It does seem doable. And again, it's nearly liquid, so it seems like there would be less problem for you to have to worry about chewing and swallowing. Now, this is a record, by the way, that is currently in play. Just last year, Levi broke the record. It had been 5.07 ounces. In November of 2007, he broke it at 5.5, and that's where it stands right now.
Well, let's give you some perspective on the Tabasco record. The 5.5 ounces of the hot sauce is nearly three of those little bottles that you see on your table at Denny's or whatever.
Okay.
Those small bottles of Tabasco, it's almost three of those in 30 seconds. But the thing is, you have to suck it out of the bottle. You got to get it out of the bottle.
Oh, there might be some sort of a
technique
involved
here. Suction
issues
there.
Again, Lisa should be working with you off air.
This should be Lisa's record, sucking and swallowing.
Love it. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Hey, Mug, when we did Cinco de Mayo earlier in the month, didn't you down some of Dexter's hot sauce right there in front of the crowd? It was a huge hit, right?
That I did very willingly. You said, hey, Mug, where are you at? We need you to down some hot sauce. And I was right there. And
no big deal for you?
No big deal. I was pouring in my mouth.
Yeah, do you remember how you were 10 minutes later?
Yeah, I didn't do too so well.
Oh, Ralph, that may not have been a good idea. I'm not feeling so good.
Then we made him eat tacos. Yeah, we are so mean to him.
All right. Anything else you want to tell us? Anything we need to know, Mug, before you attempt this 30-second record?
Well, done a little preparation. Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, did you?
And bread.
Smart.
So, coated the stomach.
All right.
Coated the stomach.
And we're trying to push the record. We've got, instead of three small bottles, we've got one large bottle, which is about 5 ounces, and then one of the 2-ounce small bottles. So you have to power through as much of 7 ounces as you can in 30, and then we'll measure the rest, and we'll see what the difference is, how much you've actually ingested.
Got a Tabasco chaser.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds hot. You ready?
All right.
30 seconds.
Mr. Levi Johnson of T, South Dakota, if you're listening online right now, prepare to hear your record drop, because Beer Mug is going to set a Guinness World Record right now.
Here it goes.
In 3, 2, 1, and chug.
Drink.
Swallow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's doing awesome.
He's really, that is moving.
That's hot.
That bottle is
like
emptying.
Nursing.
Oh, my God, Mug. Come on. You do it.
You can actually break this one.
Go.
Get the other one.
15 seconds gone by so far.
Go.
He's actually got a chance at this one. Yeah, because the opening is
smaller. Shake it, dude. Shake it.
He's doing it.
Oh, don't break it.
Come on. Keep sucking.
Mug, come on, dude.
Wrap your lips around it.
Oh, how did he do? How did Mug do?
I don't know. It looks close.
Excuse me.
This is five ounces here.
But what's the record?
5.5.
And this is 2 ounces.
That could have been a half an ounce, dude.
That could have been a half an ounce.
It could be. Let's measure it.
I think we're going to have to take a break. He's actually that close? We're
going
to have to pour this sauce out of this bottle, and we're going to have to do a measurement and then subtract it from 7 ounces to see how much he drank, because this is pretty close.
Honestly, just eyeballing it, that could easily be a half an ounce.
I think I got it! It's actually pretty close.
Oh my God.
Mug!
Ladies and gentlemen,
come on!
Well, no, we need a measuring cup with ounces. We don't need like a half a cup.
Oh, that was hot stuff.
That's 4 ounces there? Okay, well, pour this into that and see how much we got.
All right, let's just real quick, and then by the way, MTV
is not going to happen
real quick because it's that little bottle. And, yeah. Oh yeah, shake that bottle, Cleo.
Yeah.
We got Miss Cleo.
Wow, look at her! Look at her, hand! Look at that!
That's all the fluid out of that.
That's some good up and down motion.
It sure is. All right, 1-800-520-1067. While the lab works on this, while the judges review the tape for the Beer Mug Challenge, we are going to open up the phone lines right now. If you're a fan of the MTV Movie Awards, and why wouldn't you be? It's a great show every year. It's happening live this Sunday. Mike Myers is the host, and that's a hint for you. If you're a fan of Mike Myers and his movies, this is the game for you to win your tickets. 1-800-520-1067. We'll come back with that and the results of the Beer Mug Eating Challenge after this on the World Famous K-Rock. Ralph, what have you and the team on floor seven of scientists determined about Beer Mug's attempt at the Guinness World Record?
Well, we broke down how much fluid Beer Mug took in for the Great Tabasco Sauce Challenge, and we discovered it was just slightly over 5 ounces, about 5.03 ounces. So the record was 5.5 ounces.
He was
still about 4/10 of an ounce shy of the record.
Oh,
no! Yeah, sorry,
that's the closest you've ever gotten, though.
Why?
That is the closest. However, we also discovered another little snag in the attempt. We went back and watched the video of the current record holder who has 5.5 ounces of Tabasco.
Okay.
And he was sucking the Tabasco from these small 2-ounce bottles. Ooh. He had 3 2-ounce bottles that he was sucking the Tabasco from.
And is that the preferred format then from Guinness? Is that how they want to see the record attempted?
Well, I think you have to match kind for kind. You know, if you're going to break that record, you have to do it in the same way that the record holder did. So you have to suck the fluid from the small opening.
That's what she said.
Have you seen the size of that hole on the opening, though?
That's what she said.
Yes. It is a very small hole for the fluid to come out, but still, you must keep sucking until you accomplish that.
That's what she said.
It's impossible.
Well, it's not impossible because we watched the guy do it in the other room on the video. So you were sucking from the big hole.
That's what he said.
Come on.
With the 5-ounce bottle, you were downing that. And that is a much larger opening, and so the fluid comes out more quickly. And
She said.
Well, I like the big hole better.
Well, that is just not competitive. If you want to do it again, we're going to have to get 3 2-ounce bottles, and you will have to nurse from the small opening of
guys,
the
bottle.
You can practice that during the week.
She said.
Let's find out.
With you, Lisa?
Yeah, maybe.
Awesome. Do we have someone we can call at Guinness and find out if it would be acceptable to do it the way Mug's doing it with the bigger bottle? I mean, what's the harm in looking into
that? Well, here's the thing. You could pour Tabasco into a pint glass, and I'm sure you could down more than 5.5 ounces in 30 seconds. It's not
that's
the drinking.
Part of the
it's not the drinking part. I think that is the difficulty. It is getting the fluid, as I mentioned, out of the small hole, sucking on the end of the of the bottle until you get all the fluid out.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Beer Mug for a fantastic effort today. I cannot mock the mug today because he did deliver.
He came through.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. 727. Mike Myers, movies. Are you a fan? 1-800-520-1067.
Why are you talking like Yoda?
Here's the montage again. We're looking for these 5 movies in order, please.
Donkey shouldn't
look like a humongous cat.
I prefer the term
worthy
Billy.
She was a thief.
I think it's pretty doable, and let's see if Nicole can do it. She's on the line from Diamond Bar on line one, talking about tickets for the MTV Movie Awards this weekend. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. I heard nothing but the last one, so I've got nothing.
Then you are useless to us.
I got nothing.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Sorry about that.
Luke is in Lomita, line two. Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Luke, all 5 movies in order. Can you do it?
Yes, I can. I got Shrek.
Right.
Cat in the Hat.
Yes.
Wayne's World.
Mm-hmm.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
No.
Oh,
very, very close.
So close, but thank you for trying, Luke. We appreciate it. Wesley Corona on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
How you doing, Mr. May?
Hello.
All 5 in order. You win tickets to see Mike Myers in person Sunday. Go ahead.
All right. We got Shrek.
Yes.
And we got Ken Nash.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Wayne's World.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Powers.
Right.
Yes.
And So I Married an Axe Murderer.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Wesley. Look at that.
Impressive.
Good times. Mike Myers is the host. Coldplay is one of the musical guests. They're doing a career achievement award for Adam Sandler. All the stars go to this thing. It really is a great time, and it's going to be live on MTV this Sunday. You, my man Wesley, are going to be there. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thanks so very much.
That's how you can tell. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. I guess all I'm saying, Mike, is that Kobe's not even trying if he can't even score 40 against the defending champion San Antonio Spurs. I mean, why even bother showing up if you're already going to score 39?
What's
you know what I mean?
For? Play on!
Of course, the Lakers won. They advanced to the finals. We're still waiting to find out who they play. But we'll talk to one of the Lakers' biggest fans, a young man by the name of Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, coming up later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, it's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat. And what was Linkin Park talking about as they kicked off their Project Revolution tour at a press conference yesterday? The K-Rock microphones were there. That's on the way, too. What? What was that?
It's just every time the K-Rock microphone's there, it's Linkin Park.
Nobody's dead. Let's talk about our friends Spencer and Heidi for a second, shall we?
Stop giving me news about Heidi and Spencer. I don't know. I don't know who Heidi is. I don't know who Spencer is. I don't know what they do or why they're in the news. I just know I want them to die.
I think we can all agree on that. Spencer joins us as he does from time to time in the studio as the world famous
Chief.
Shark.
Hey, Spencer.
How
are
you, Spence? How you doing, Randy? Bobby,
Ralph.
Linda, what's up?
Lisa.
What's up, Chief? How you doing?
Well, Ralph, what was the story you gave us earlier in the week on the Showbiz Beat? Something new about Spencer, something going on in his life of a spiritual nature.
Us Weekly saying, Spencer, that you and Heidi are closer than ever to actually getting married.
That's right.
Heidi called you her soulmate.
Forever.
And she said that you're the one that brought up marriage again. You convinced her to give you another shot at being her husband by quoting to her passages from the Bible.
I'm all about the word of the Lord, bitch.
What?
But
there's nothing about your life from what we know on the hills that would indicate that you ever think about anything other than Spencer.
Captain, you don't even know anything about me. You think that when the cameras turn on, you get an idea of what the real Spencer's like? Psh, it's crazy. I'm deeper than that. I'm substance filled.
You don't seem to be a spiritual person at all. If anything, you seem to be completely materialistic and only about what
funny because like you look like a guy, but you're talking like a woman because I can't even understand what you're saying right now.
Words aren't making sense.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, you're mature, that's for sure.
Whatever, that's for sure.
Hey, we are going to take your calls as usual for Spencer the Love Dispenser if you want to dial up now, 1-800-520-1067. But again, what have you ever done or said that would lead us to believe that you even believe in God or ever read the Bible? I mean, it's the opposite of how you act, Spence.
It's, dude, you don't even understand, Captain. Listen, Chief, when Leonardo da Vinci became Pope of the Ming Dynasty, no one asked questions about him venturing into other things he did. I'm a major movie star, I'm a major television star, I'm a manager. I'm a production genius. It doesn't mean I can't also be a man of the cloth.
You're a tool. You're a tool is what you are.
You will be smited by the Lord that is Spence, dog, Chief.
You will be smoked.
Hey, maybe in your church, but not in the church of sick.
The church of sick.
Church of sick. That's right, Chief. Yeah, he's a good man. You got some veins around. He's been doing push-ups.
Yeah.
By the way, dude, Pilates for life.
I would love if the cameras were there when you were on the Mexican hillside reading scripture to Heidi. I would love to have seen what that looked like.
What scripture did you pull out, Spence, that convinced Heidi to give matrimony a shot with you?
It was.
What were you quoting from the Bible?
Zechariah 22:15.
Book of Zechariah.
That's right.
What was that passage you quoted?
Know your role, woman. Be submissive to your man. Let the boobs do the talking.
It doesn't say let the boobs do the talking in the Bible, Spencer. That's not in the book.
All right. Maybe not in your church, whatever. But I'm telling you, Captain, listen here, Bobby Dog. When Spence Dog reads, it's the word of the Lord. Comes straight down from up above in the heavens where it's all good. That's right. That's the word of the Lord, Chief.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take some phone calls right now. Pick up the phone. Call us at 1-800-520-1067. Especially now that Spencer Pratt is a righteous man. He really knows what he's talking about how to keep relationships together. So if you've got a problem with your lady or with your man and you want some advice from Spencer, now's the time to call it Spencer, the Love Dispenser.
What's going on with you and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to her.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just...
Spencer, the Love Dispenser! Spencer, the Love Dispenser!
Whoa. Hold on, dude.
What? That's your intro.
That's your theme song.
That was the old Spencer.
That's the same song we always use when we take calls.
I called your production guy, Oscar, last night, and I said, now that I'm a righteous man of the cloth, you need to make a new one that represents me well. Here you go.
Spencer, the God Dispenser.
Oh, my. Are you kidding me?
Spencer, the God Dispenser. Spencer, the
I think we got the gist.
Did you shoot Omar with a horse tranquilizer? What was going on with that? He sounds like he's dying.
I think it sounds good. It's a word of the Lord, Chief.
So you're not Spencer the God Dispenser.
That's right. Delivering God everywhere I can. Psh.
So the Lord Almighty speaks through you.
That's right. Read my hoodie. What does it say? It says, sins shall not be judged by the tough of sands of time as they delve into the crystals of the Lord. That's right, Kitson.
Biggest hoodie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Totally diamond encrusted. You got that right, Chief. You want one?
Can you buy those at the Church of Sick?
Nah, man. I think you got to get them at, like, Lisa Klein.
Okay. All right. Let's try Eric on line two, please,
Eric.
Spencer. Eric. How many personalities are going on inside you right now, Mike? Let's try Eric from L.A. on line two. Speaking of the godly Spencer, I think Eric has an appropriate question for this segment. Good morning, Eric. Welcome to the Kevin DeBee Show.
Good morning. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
just wanted to say I need some biblical advice because I'm getting married this weekend.
Okay.
Any advice for Eric, Spencer?
Yeah, Eric, so you're getting married, that's great, you know, you're going to take a vow in front of Jesus Christo himself, you know what I'm saying, make it legit. What's your wife weighing in at, your future wife?
See,
that doesn't matter.
What's that?
Like 120?
120.
There you go.
She's 6 foot plus, right?
Okay,
what you need to do is call this number, it's 1-800-555-6767. That's a Ukrainian mail order bride service. Okay,
well, I need you to get yourself. What if he loves the woman he's with, though?
This is word of the Lord. Go ahead, don't interrupt me. All right, thanks. Thanks. What you need to do is order yourself a bride from the Ukraine, okay? Because once you've seen your family murdered in front of your eyes, they don't really care about what you're saying, okay? And she'll have nice bolt-ons, blonde hair, everything will be okay. And you just go ahead and get rid of that 120 fatty, fat, fat pig that you're going to marry this weekend, okay? Thank you. All right.
It makes us think you're not a spiritual person.
Exactly.
What? It's the word of the Lord, Chief.
It's not the word of the Lord.
Hey, it's like it says in Leviticus 28:10.
Yeah.
Pimping ain't easy. It's necessary.
It doesn't say that. It's not in the Bible. All right, let's try line three, please. Give me Fernando. He's calling from Chatsworth with two T's. Thank you, Moose. Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. You're on with Spencer the God Dispenser. Go ahead.
Hey, Spencer. What's going on, man?
What's up?
Hey, my girl's trying to get me to go see Sex and the City with her, man. And
all right.
I really got into it.
Well, what kind of car does she drive?
Volkswagen.
What's that got to do with it?
What do you mean, what does that have to do with it? Did he say BMW?
No.
Did he say Mercedes Benz?
No.
Okay, then it's a moot point. All right, thanks a lot for calling.
But that doesn't address his question.
And what should he do?
I don't know. Maybe not pretend like she doesn't exist. Like I said, did he say Mercedes Benz?
No.
Did he say something that rhymed with Schmentley?
No.
Did he say perhaps BM Dizzle?
No.
Faux shizzle
then. Well, no, but he was asking about sex. Oh, dear God. Let's try Omar in El Monte. He's on line seven. Omar, you're on with Spencer the God Dispenser on the world-famous K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Spencer?
How you doing, dog? What's up, Chief? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, right, I just want to know, how do you know if your chick, you know, if your chick's not messing up on you, you know what I mean, before you ask her the big question?
Well, do you let her out of the house when it's not dark?
Well, yeah. Well, nah. She's right there next to me every day, every night, I mean. But in the daytime, you know what I mean? How could you tell?
I think you keep track of her during the daytime. Make sure she's not cheating, Spencer.
Yeah, there you go.
Smell the panties?
That's always a good thing, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, look, I mean, I know when Spence Dog's been downstairs, it smells like roses and vanilla extract, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. If she's been cheating on you with someone from Malibu or Beverly Hills, you probably don't really know because it's always going to smell good. But if someone's from, like, a poor neighborhood, it's going to reek like pew, like, yeah, fat, poor, sick. You know what I'm saying? So you can just tell, you know what I'm saying? But, buddy, look, if she's cheating on you from someone from, say, like, Malibizzle, you know what I'm saying, or like, don't even mind it, you know what I'm saying, because if women are
caviar,
that's right, if they're not for sharing, then what are they for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Yeah, so it smells like carnitas, I'm in trouble.
That's right. Yes.
There you go.
Sick.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Soul, brother.
Hey. Yeah. If the homies can't have none, you know what I'm saying? All right, brother. Thanks, Chief.
Spencer, I think maybe a few more Bible study classes before you start speaking the word, okay? I think maybe you need some help on that.
Maybe you could be baptized by the Church of Sick if you come down here to Spence, dog.
I'm afraid to know what you baptize people with down there in the Church of Sick.
Sea urchin ceviche from the Ivy. Sick.
Woo, 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 woo. Worst standing ever. It does seem like he stopped trying right there near the end of that song, but God bless, I love Jack Johnson.
What are we going to do here? I don't know. Just go woo, woo, woo for a while. We'll
fade
out.
Like it.
Yeah, they love us. They'll buy anything. I'm the guy in the flip-flops. I can't fail. It's 7:56 on the Kevin Abede Show. Project Revolution announced yesterday. There was a press conference. The K-Rock microphones were there. That blonde kid that used to work on this show, Kevin, he was down there with a microphone. Talked to Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park and Busta Rhymes. I think some of the guys from Atreyu. A bunch of people going out on tour this summer. We've got highlights from the press conference coming up, plus the movie beat next hour. Right now, though, Ralph's here with the showbiz news. What's going on?
Well, Clay Aiken's going to be a dad.
No, seriously.
Imagine people just waking up.
Yeah. That would be the shocker of all time.
Clock radio goes off next to their bed, and they hear, Clay Aiken's going to be a dad. They're like, oh, I'm still sleeping. I need to wake up.
It did seem like that must have come from The Onion when I saw the headline yesterday. I thought there's no real possibility of that, right?
But don't worry. It didn't happen the way it usually does with a dude and a lady laying down and making sweet love. No. Clay Aiken's best friend, a 50-year-old woman named James Foster, has been artificially inseminated with his...
essence.
Clay seed.
Oh!
What did you want the man to do?
She is the sister of record mogul producer David Foster, who I believe produced Clay's album.
Oh, okay.
I think you're right about that. I think they do have a working relationship as well as soon to be related somehow.
And Clay is her best friend, and she wants to have a baby. She's divorced with no kids. Clay reportedly stays at her home when he's in Los Angeles, so they're very close. And I guess she said, I need to get a... pregnant. Who should I go with? Oh, how about that weird-looking she-male dude who's 200 pounds overweight who sings like a girl?
K-Wad.
He would have good seed.
I think, I can't remember, Lisa, if it were you or Ralph earlier today who correctly assessed what's going on with Mike Clay as someone who's in the early stages of sexual reassignment surgery.
That
he looks
rough,
like he's taking the hormones and he's soon going to have boobs. We'll start seeing him dressing in women's clothing. Mm-hmm. He's turning into a woman.
He could be a pretty girl.
He could
be. He's not a convincing man.
I don't think he's going to be a pretty girl either, quite frankly. Mm-hmm.
Really?
But he has booked a one-way ticket on Trans-America, in my opinion. apparently she was artificially inseminated, and Clay says that he intends on taking an active role in raising the child as well. So that kid is screwed.
No kidding.
Yeah, sad but true.
Would any of this have happened if he had just stayed a teacher in a small town in North Carolina? Is all of this craziness as a result of the success that he got on being on a television show, American Idol?
Well, as we always say here on the show, people tend to live up to their options. And if Clay was still living in the Deep South and he was a teacher or whatever, he would just be in the closet and probably be going to, you know, gay bars and stuff. And
but he wouldn't have that long, flowing blonde hair. He wouldn't have plucked his eyebrows out. He wouldn't have that weird whatever's on his face now that's making it look all weird. I mean, all of that is a result of being in show business, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You can indulge yourself that way.
It's true.
I guess.
Speaking of babies, Jenna Jameson, former porn queen, has said for some time now that she's looking to start a family, too. She's not going to bother getting married. She's just going to start having kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's hot.
That's a strong idea. She also tells Fox News that one of the biggest misconceptions about her is that she's half gay, that she's bisexual. But she says she has no attraction to women, whatever. She is totally heterosexual. I
she's
might have
love wang bones.
Some video evidence to the contrary, Ms. Jameson.
Yeah, she's better actress than we knew then.
I like meat.
By the way, now that Jen is no longer making porn, shut up.
Why do we keep talking to her?
Why is she still in the news? Why is she still a celebrity? We don't need to hear from her anymore.
Didn't she have that great zombie movie?
Zombie strippers.
She did have that. That's true. But it seems like every day there's a story about her saying how she wants to take her boobs out, how she wants to have kids, and how she's not a lesbian or bisexual. Nothing you have to say means anything anymore.
You stop entertaining us. Based on what I saw at Saturday night's UFC, she could probably beat Tito Ortiz now. She could probably beat him up if she wanted to.
You say that to his face.
I'm just saying.
because Tito,
what does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Tito got his ass kicked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he got his ass kicked.
I think
he'd lose to Jetta at this point. He seems to have lost the will to fight.
Oh, I hope he comes in the show sometime so we can play that tape back.
How amazing would it be if Tito Ortiz just went berserk on Bean?
Bean would turn into dust
with one punch.
Pink fist. That's what he would be. He would be pink fist. Looks like Gary Dorton's luck just keeps on rolling along.
Aw.
Gary Dorton, of course, from CSI, was popped after Coachella for having a suitcase full of drugs. And although he pled guilty, he got off fairly easy. He just has to go to a treatment program and take about 16 drug and alcohol awareness classes. And now, gossip columnist Jenna Charlton is reporting that the bigwigs over at CBS feel bad for his fall from grace and decided to offer him a chance to come back next season to CSI if he'd like to take him up on that.
I thought they killed him on the show. He's dead on CSI.
Maybe this story needs to be researched a little bit more, though.
Maybe there'll be a Coachella next year.
Maybe they'll have a lot of flashbacks starring his character. Maybe he'll come back as his twin brother.
Oh, that could happen.
I know is it says CBS, feeling bad for what he's been going through, has offered him a chance to come back next season.
He's the luckiest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Did you see his statement, by the way, after when he left court the other day when they gave him no jail time, just rehab for the suitcase full of drugs? Did you hear what he had to say?
I did not.
I want to do it because it's fun. It's fun to do bad things.
It's fun to do bad things.
I'm really surprised to see him talk like that.
He's got a point. And lastly, speaking of bad things, Charlie Sheen and his girlfriend Brooke Mueller are set to tie the knot tonight in a secret location, according to the New York Daily News. Mm. 60 or so invited guests. They're the only ones that know where to go. Apparently, they're telling them to dress in evening attire, dress up, and then wait for a car, which will show up to your home and whisk you off to the secret location.
Okay.
It's like a drug deal.
Yeah.
Could be. Secret agent mission or something.
Was he married to someone else before Denise Richards?
I think he was married once.
Or was that his first?
Wasn't he?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering if he is really the guy who ought to be getting married again. I'm just wondering how many failures he needs to rack up in the marriage department before he thinks maybe it's not for him.
Some guys just keep going at it.
I don't know the motivation behind this either. Some girls do, too. I mean, look at Pam Anderson. Some people are just addicted to that process, but I don't know how many times he's been married.
Pam Anderson?
No, he does have two daughters, Sam and Lila Rose, for Denise Richards, aged 3 and 4. They are going to be at the ceremony as well, so that lends people to assume that Denise Richards, of course, Charlie's ex, will have to attend as well to be with her kids. So.
That isn't good for you.
That's a bad deal right there. You don't ever want your ex at your wedding. You just don't.
Especially when they reach that part and say, if anyone has a reason why these two should not be joined.
Yeah, he looks at porn all day long. He's abusive.
Superhorse saying this is his third marriage. Third. He married Donna Peel and then Denise Richards. This will be his third.
Wow. Yeah,
thank you, crack research staff in the other
room. He's young to be on number three. By the way, speaking of the weddings, have you been seeing the commercials for the new Bridezilla? I think debuts this weekend.
No.
A new series of Bridezillas.
No,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Does it look unbelievable?
There's
a woman getting married who doesn't want her mother-in-law, her future mother-in-law, at the wedding, and the mother-in-law crashes it.
Ugh.
And the video looks phenomenal.
Wow.
I love that kind of stuff. Speaking of new television, I just want to give you a heads up. This Sunday on the USA Network, new series called In Plain Sight debuts, starring Mary McCormick.
Ooh,
from The West Wing and also from the Howard Stern movie. She plays a U.S. Marshal who helps people into the witness relocation program. In Plain Sight is the name of the series, and by all accounts, it's excellent. So
I want to get into that witness relocation program, by the way.
You already are in it. Are you kidding me? If you weren't on the radio, nobody would know where you were. Who would care?
I don't think we've ever done that as a phone topic. I'd love to talk to people who have changed their identities and gone into something like the witness relocation program. That'd be so cool.
That would be interesting.
You've got to leave everything behind, right? I mean, you can't ever call anyone you ever knew.
No contact with anyone ever.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, In Plain Sight this Sunday on the USA Network. And by all accounts, it's really, really good. So you may want to check it out now that all the new TV is pretty much gone for this season. Lost last night was pretty much the last of the big finales. So you may be looking for something to fill your time on Sundays. Although I still have one more Tudors left, I think. Or was Tudors over now, too?
I haven't been watching Tudors.
Oh, I think Tudors is over now, too. It just dawns on me.
Aww,
no, I'm bummed. Sorry. You haven't been watching the Tudors?
I'm going to, because I missed the first two seasons, so I'm going to watch it on Netflix and catch up that way.
You're very clever, Lisa May.
Yeah, I'm clever.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ted McGinley. Very talented and handsome young actor who, of course, was in Married with Children, Happy Days, Hope and Faith.
Not that young anymore.
The Love Boat, not that young anymore. He used to be young.
Yeah.
He looks good for 50, though.
He does, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wynonna Judd.
Uh-oh.
Country singer is 44 years old today. Tom Morello of Audioslave and Rage is 44 as well. And CeeLo of Gnarls Barkley turns 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. And walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. Friday morning means Ralph's got the movie beat coming up later this half hour. Plus, we'll talk to Laker fan number one. His name is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers in 1 hour, talking about the big win last night against San Antonio. All right. Summertime is here. That means lots of great concert events out on the road, including the return of Linkin Park's Project Revolution, Linkin Park, Chris Cornell, The Bravery, and more. Our man Kevin, who you may remember, some of you longtime listeners remember when Kevin used to be on the show, he was out with the microphones, the K-Rock microphones yesterday, interviewing Mike Shinoda from LP and Busta Rhymes, also on the bill. Here's a taste of what happened at that press conference yesterday on K-Rock.
I'm watching the Lakers game.
Yeah.
And you come on the TV.
What?
And then this dude, Busta Rhyme.
Ah.
And then it's, you know, Pau Gasol. And then it's Tim Duncan. All edited together.
We all love the Lakers.
It's just universal. You just have to love the Lakers.
So, voice of God, by the way, Busta Rhymes.
Thank you very much.
Mike Shinoda?
Yeah. We're excited. Busta just got added to the tour. So Project Revolution, besides all the great bands you guys have been actually talking about on K-Rock, which we appreciate very much. Busta just got added to the tour, so...
Did the tour come first, or did the song, or did it all kind of come together? How did that work?
The song actually came first, and it was I'll give you the shortest version I can on that. It started with Busta and this production team called Kool & Dre. So we did the song, and they sent the song over. We really enjoyed it. We didn't have time to record it in the States. We were on tour, yada, yada, yada. It was like this poor guy, Busta Rhymes was waiting for like weeks and weeks and months for us to get stuff done. Like, it was a nightmare for him.
At some point, did you say not worth it?
I was just at the end of my rope at a one brief moment, and I called Mike, and we had an in-depth conversation. Yeah.
It was what the hell does it take to get a song?
I know, and I was apologizing too. I was like, man, we never do business this way. Like, I'm so sorry that this is taking so long, but it got to the point where it was like the whole record is being held up by our participation in one song, and he's like, well, I just want to put my record out, kind of, you know what I mean?
And the album was actually going to come out in December of last year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's our fault.
You bastard. They held up their own CD for like 2 years.
Linkin parked on that one, huh?
Yeah, it was serious, but it gave the song a whole new definition, whole new meaning, whole new value, because with the content and what the name of the song is, we made it. And after going through that obstacle course and even just what I was going through in my own personal life with just my own personal issues, it was really my victory anthem, like at the end of the Rocky movies. You know what I'm saying?
Did it. Together we made it.
You see, we did it.
We made it even though we had our backs up against the wall.
Come on.
Forever we waited. And they told us we were never gonna get it.
Now you're on the tour, or you're on Project Revolution.
Absolutely.
Tell us about being in front of this crowd.
I think for me, being in front of this crowd is going to be like probably the first time I really learned how to do a wheelie halfway down the block. And I was showing off in front of all of my little friends in school that couldn't do it as long as I was able to do it. So I became the man for a long time. Like it's like one of those moments for me. You know what I'm saying? I never really even imagined getting an opportunity where I could come out and rock with such a diverse lineup.
You need a backup dancer.
Cool. I'm seeing your knees look like they're holding it together pretty good, so we can get it popping.
And Alex Betrayer, you're on the bill too.
Yeah, yeah. Our manager called us and was like, Linkin Park's going on this huge tour, and like they would like you guys to do it. You know, maybe would you be into that? And like, it was kind of a no-brainer. You know, it's pretty easy to say yes to that. And then, you know, you find out like Busta Rhymes is going to be on it, and Chris Cornell, and all these amazing like performers. And I don't know, it's cool to be a part of that and say that, you know, we'll have done it, you know what I mean?
Sure. Who else is on the bill? You got Chris Cornell,
yes. The Bravery.
He's reading now.
Busta Rhymes. Now I'm going to start reading.
Not reading.
Ashes Divide, Atreyu, 10 Years, Hawthorne Heights, Armor for Sleep, and a group called Street Drum Corps, which is like the blue man group of punk rock.
A punk blue man group.
Well, they don't do the ridiculous Hollywood like dress up stuff. Not that they, well, I shouldn't have said ridiculous.
No, that's all right.
It's a little ridiculous.
They don't paint their faces blue.
No, these guys are just dudes. They're just punk rock dudes, and they play on
garbage cans and pots and pans. And
actually, I think they do incorporate a little bit of face makeup, though. I think there's some face makeup going on there. I mean, let's be honest. They do have actually a little bit more of the Hollywood face makeup thing than Blue Man Group might actually.
Okay, okay, okay.
Not in a bashing way, just
no,
saying,
not like a Hollywood... Like,
guyliner?
No.
Guyliner?
It's not Hollywood in
the sense
like blue.
What I call it, guyliner.
But it's Hollywood in the sense of like Motley Crue.
Yeah. Motley Crue. Okay, that's guyliner. That's what I'm saying.
It's guyliner.
Well, you always put together a fascinating bill for the summer. It must be fun to sit down.
Fascinating. Fascinating is definitely the word.
Well, it's divergent. I mean, it's
fascinating in the sense of like, why did they
throw him out there? Divergent?
What? I don't know, dude.
Black hole sign. Won't you come?
Ready to come out, Bus?
I'm coming out. I'm going to sing the background on that joint right there. Believe that.
I got you back.
I'll be there with a Guitar Hero guitar.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah. Mashing it.
Mashing. Yeah, but I'll be on expert, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm out. What is that? What song are we playing? I only heard the end of that. What is that? I like that.
Hammerhead.
Oh, that's good. That's the new one from The Offspring, album coming soon on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It's Friday. We'll talk to Flea about the Lakers coming up after 9. Right now, though, time for Ralph and the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, boys and girls, 5 new movies in the Southland Cineplexes this weekend for you to check out. If you've already seen Indiana Jones and Iron Man and Speed Racer and all the other summer blockbusters, let's take a look at some of the smaller films that are opening in limited release this weekend. The Foot Fist Way, the name of a new comedy.
Oh, it's not it sounds like it'd be a kung fu movie.
Sure, well, does.
Sounds like a porn.
That's what it's basically about, is about a down-and-out Taekwondo instructor down south who is looking to turn his life around by going on a pilgrimage to meet his hero, a martial arts movie legend called Chuck the Truck Wallace, obviously based on Chuck Norris. And this guy, Danny McBride, who stars in the film and wrote it, has become the darling of Will Ferrell and his buddy Adam McKay and their group. They've been championing this film. It is very much like one of those Will Ferrell movies, although it's much darker. I've actually had a chance to see this film. It is... it was shot on a shoestring budget. It's ultra-low budget, so a lot of the writing, the performances, some of the actors they got are just okay. I found it humorous in spots. It's getting a lot of critical attention. A lot of people are talking about it. I didn't necessarily think it was worthy of all that much attention. It's sporadically funny. So it's got that going for
it. But you see some talent. There is some talent up on the screen, some potential maybe that the next movie will be better.
Yeah, Danny McBride, who plays this Taekwondo instructor, who's a real prick, he wrote and stars in the film as well. He's obviously got something going on, so I'll be interested to see what he does next. But if you're looking for a couple chuckles, The Foot Fist Way, which is the name of his technique, by the way, his Taekwondo technique, is good for a couple laughs. Here is a scene from the film where the lead character is waiting at a restaurant.
Sup?
No, I'm sorry, not waiting at a restaurant. He's at dinner with another couple, and here he's accusing his guest of flirting with his girlfriend.
So, Carlos, Connie tells me you're a big-time lawyer.
Yeah, I just passed the bar exam, and I'm working for Williams & Turner, and it was all thanks in part to the GI Bill.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Look at you, Connie. He's quite a catch.
Suze, why don't you just chill out for a minute? Stop flirting. Connie's sitting right here next to you.
I wasn't flirting.
Carlos, you better watch out. My eye on you. I'm just kidding, dude. Relax. Take it easy, dude. I'm joking.
Dude.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay.
It's not for everybody, but you may want to
understood.
Take a look. Yeah. Also opening up this weekend, Bigger, Stronger, Faster. This looks fascinating. This is a documentary about the use of anabolic steroids in America.
Oh, my.
Psycho Mike will never stop going to this film.
That's right.
It's pretty much about two brothers. One brother is the documentarian. He's the guy who made the movie. And the other brother is on the juice. And so he documents his brother's experience with steroids and also talks to other people who use steroids. And apparently, it's fascinating. It broke at Sundance, and a lot of the critics there said it was just one of the strongest films at Sundance this year. Documentary called Bigger, Stronger, Faster. Here is a scene from the movie where the brother, the filmmaker who's not on roids, is asking a guy who's already honked up his muscles by using roids if it's safe and okay to use steroids while bodybuilding.
I have two brothers. They're both taking steroids right as we speak right now. I don't know if I want people to think I'm not cheating or to look at me and say, wow, you know, like, you really have a great build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but do you think I should take steroids to get there?
I think steroids are as American as apple pie.
Yeah. Wow.
Sure. Well, what could go wrong with that?
Hey, look, the people who believe in them really believe in them.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt Arnold Schwarzenegger, did it?
Hey. Oh, wait a sec.
Yeah. The Strangers opens this weekend as well. This is looks spooky, man. It's a couple in a little house in the woods, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and Rodney Bingenheimer shows up.
Oh,
and
no.
It's not, not Rodney.
Dude,
it's
that's
not
what
Rodney.
I heard on your show. You said
it's,
it.
That's not
Liar.
True.
Here's a scene where Liv Tyler's explaining to her husband that she saw a spooky person out in the woods.
I didn't notice somebody out there.
I saw a man at the back door, and he's wearing a mask.
What do you mean, like a ski mask? What?
I don't know. Jimmy, I'm so scared.
Okay. Open the door. I just want you to run. Okay?
Ooh.
See? I told
Did
you
that
was
go
in
well?
There.
Did that go well? I can't tell.
Scott Speedman and Liv Tyler star as the couple, the assailants that terrorize them. One of them is Gemma Ward, who's smoking hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Too much yelling in that film for me, Ralph. I'm sorry.
What didn't Funny Games come out like last month with Tim Roth and Naomi Watts about a young couple who's in a house in the woods and they're terrorized by three unknown assailants?
Yes.
I think this movie. This looks
same
a little more
movie.
Straightforward slasher. Funny Games, I think, was like extreme dark comedy.
It's a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, this weekend, Sex in the City has been pulled from release. Apparently, the movie company releasing Sex in the City said it's too horrible for human eyes to witness.
No,
straight
just,
to DVD? Is that what they're doing with it?
Not even DVD. They're afraid to release it on any medium because it's been known to kill.
Checked movie phone and
so it's
going to
be
every
it's going to be Jerry Lewis's movie about the clown and then the Sex in the City. Those are going to be the two legendary movies
that were made
and never released.
Tom Cruise's eye patch Nazi movie and then Sex in the City. These are the three films you will never see.
Look, so, I don't want to disagree with you because you're the movie guy and everything.
Ladies,
but
don't even
bother.
You might
want to just double check.
Don't even bother trying to see it because apparently it's not in release any
might
longer.
Be there.
Not
Ralph says
there.
It's not out, Lisa, so it's not out, okay?
It might be sold
clearly,
out.
Clearly we would have heard something about Sex in the City if they were making a movie out of it. Come on.
Yeah, apparently... this movie, based on the popular TV series Sex in the City, is in every theater, everywhere, on every screen, all the time.
That and Indiana Jones. That's pretty much all you can see.
Yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker plays a young horse in the city who apparently she's pulling a hansom cab through Central Park is her job. And I know it's odd, but a horse apparently wants to get married.
But I heard that she broke her hoof or something like that. They had to put her down on the track. I heard it's a very, very sad movie from what I understand.
Here's a scene where Jessica's character, Selena, what's her name? What's the Carrie.
Now
Carrie.
You're throwing me.
Carrie Bradshaw, right?
Yes.
Announces to her girlfriends that Mr. Big has finally popped the question.
So the other night, Big and I were talking about, you know, moving in together and our future and, you know, what makes sense as we move forward. And we decided to get married.
That's Charlotte.
And I'm deaf.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Everybody is looking.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
Alex Scream. And I saw this.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
On Wednesday night. Uh-huh. And big thumbs up from both of us.
Basement.
Loved it.
Basement.
Loved the movie.
Oh, why do girls,
women will not be disappointed.
Why do women scream like that because they hear good news? Why?
That's what we do.
Why not? Hey, congratulations. Hey, that's great.
Please.
Hey, I'm happy for you.
That's so weak.
Oh,
you don't understand.
Can you imagine listening to this for 2 hours?
No,
it's like 9/11.
Those kind of conversations.
And at least the clip had Sarah Jessica Parker with her mouth full.
Yeah. She was
really,
eating. They actually
talking
eat.
Slowly.
Yeah.
I know. Good.
You know,
good
guys,
dialogue with their mouth full.
Here's
good.
Here's a thought. Don't go. You
oh, there's no question
go.
About that. We've
All
already
right
determined
then.
That. But
then
now we're trying to get everyone else to not go.
Don't worry,
we're trying
your
to save others. We're not.
About
we're not. It's not about us, Lisa. We're trying to do the Lord's
I
work and save others.
That others will be very happy with this.
Lisa says it's 2 hours and 20 minutes,
and
Ralph,
I didn't even notice.
You gotta be kidding me!
But I didn't know it until I left the theater. Time flies with this movie because it's so good. It's the most awesome movie ever.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Bye.
See ya. I hope they're showing it in the basement. I hope they're showing it. in the basement Cineplex.
Sorry, Lisa, can't hear you. You're too far away now in the basement. Sorry. Oh,
so, Sex and the City not playing this weekend. Then.
No,
so that's
sadly,
off the table. Okay.
Every print has been damaged in shipping, and they are no longer going to be showing it.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
She worked the Pleiades, can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
The man who's putting the bass in that song and all the great Red Hot Chili Peppers numbers, Flea, joins us after the news at 9 to talk about the Lakers and their big win. He loves those Los Angeles Lakers. I'll tell you what about Flea.
That's, he loves the trumpet, too, I found out.
He did do the national anthem the other night on the trumpet, yeah. Anyway, we'll talk to him and all things Lakers coming up after the news at 9. First, though, the Kevin Amin Afro line is on the air right now at 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You call us, leave a message. And I appreciate this first caller, Ralph, because, you know, sometimes people get on there just long-winded. They don't know when to shut up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need some editing.
Yes.
Here's a guy, concise, to the point, gets it all out there perfectly.
Yeah.
Nothing more
all
needs
right.
to be said.
It's clean, it's clear, we get it.
I think less exactly. could be said, really, but go ahead.
Speaking of the Lakers, back in the playoffs, here's a happy fan.
Lakers! Lakers!
Okay, I think we...
Lakers!
Yes, yes. They won. Yes, they won the game.
Yeah. Oh, Nelly.
He seems pleased by the final score.
What
last
was
night,
the final last night? I missed the very end.
100-92?
Really?
Sounds right.
And once again, by the way, just like earlier in the season, earlier in the playoffs against San Antonio, they were down by 17 and didn't let that stand in the way of their dramatic comeback. So it was very, very exciting. Here's a fan of Lisa May, of course.
Hey, Lisa May. You want to know what else is hotter than a jalapeno chicken from Carl's Jr.?
Hmm.
Yeah. You, baby.
Oh.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yummy.
Roll the windows down. Keep that air conditioning on.
They can both I'm be that had, hot. They can both be had for about $4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many great shows coming to Southern California, particularly in the summertime season. It's very difficult for some of our listeners to keep them all straight. And I think this caller needs some help.
Hey, is Stud Pig opening for Tainted Stan at the Marriott? Do you know?
I think so, Hop. Thanks for calling.
All right. This is bad news, and I don't know how it's working as well as it is, but Dave is trying to bring Knot back, and we don't know why. We don't know why it's funny, why he thinks it needs to come back. I mean, most of us are so happy that stupid catchphrase is behind us, but a lot of the listeners seem to be on board.
Lisa May's a virgin. Knot!
You had to wonder it's where not, she was going to go with that at first.
It's just not funny, though. I mean, why not? What? And then we got this one.
Rachel Ray's rat. Knot!
And then Dave, the king of the knots, he had to call in and boast a little bit.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Listener Dave, you guys were so right. Knot will never make a comeback. Knot!
Oh, what are we going to do? Had some sad news in the showbiz beat earlier this week. I think that's what this caller is on about.
Hey, guys, I overheard you saying, talking about Andy Griffith, and Bean mentioned that there's a lyric, so I checked it out over on YouTube, and I was able to find the old clip. Hold on one second. Let me cue it. His name's Bean. He's a jackhole. He's a weirdo. Bean's got Asperger's. His name's Bean. He loves Popeyes and post office guys. Thanks for that info, Bean. Why are you gay? Why are you gay? I forgot to mention you're gay. Gay, 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 gay. His name's Bean. He's a jackhole. He's a weirdo. Bean's got Asperger's. But I mentioned Bean's gay.
I didn't know those were the lyrics. Like that.
I didn't either.
I wish they had sung them, though.
I knew when I brought it up yesterday that I was not going to be able to get out of this week without bringing in the actual song. So here is a little bit of the real song that you know the instrumental from is the opening for the Andy Griffith Show. This is called The Fishing Hole.
How great is male ass?
So you can see why they couldn't use those lyrics.
What are they fishing for in that hole?
Just inappropriate back then. We'll take a quick break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat next on K-Rock.
I drive in my Porsche, fantastico, fantastico. It goes really fast. It does not go slow. Does not go slow. I hope Psycho Mike is a homo.
Hey.
Is a homo.
Wow.
I want to make sweet love to his dude bro. To his dude bro. to him to draw Glendale.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. 8:58 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's KRQFM passing to Los Angeles. Flea talks Lakers after the news. Now Ralph's got our final showbiz beat of the week.
When the listeners are working harder than we are at the comedy and the show,
right.
Maybe, says something. Maybe time to step aside. Let someone else take over. There's a new trend in Hollywood. Dying.
Wow.
Apparently it is all the rage.
Very popular.
Yes, very popular this week especially. I mentioned earlier in the week that Earl Hagen, the talented composer who did hundreds of TV theme songs and did the Andy Griffith song. That's probably the one
that's
best known for, that whistling song.
Are Mark and Brian wearing black armbands this week? Did anyone check to see how they're doing? I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And then earlier this morning we mentioned that Alexander Courage, the musician who created the Star Trek theme, he passed away.
Best name ever.
Alexander Courage. Should be a superhero or a private eye or something. And I got a lot of email this week, today rather, mentioning the fact that I neglected to talk about the passing of the late, great Harvey Korman. And I opted not to really focus on that too much because I figured, well, it's Harvey Korman, first of all, who was a popular TV star in the 70s,
yeah,
I want to say.
70s.
Very, very talented guy.
Very talented, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Very, very funny, and I was a big fan. I just figured a lot of people probably wouldn't either remember or care. But I got a bunch of emails, so yes, a little tip of the hat to very funny Harvey Korman, who was on a show called The Carol Burnett Show back in the 70s, worked with a guy named Tim Conway. Very funny comedy team, the two of those guys, and he passed away. You know what I remember probably better than the TV work is, have you ever seen Blazing Saddles?
Yes.
The famous Mel Brooks movie, which is still hilarious to this day. He plays Hedley Lamarr in that.
That's right.
Yeah. He was the mayor's right-hand man in that film. Very funny in that film. So there you
he
go.
He was There's in a bunch mention. Of those Mel Gripps movies, right? He was in the inner circle.
Those Mel Gripps movies? Yes, he did a lot of Mel Gripps.
I thought I said Mel Brooks.
No, he said Mel Gripps. He was in a bunch of those Mel Gripps movies.
You clearly said Mel Gripps.
Well, there's a moment with me.
Sorry about that.
I want to mark the tape right there. We can maybe use that.
I don't know where that came from at all.
I don't either, but Mel Gripps also passed away this week. So tip of the hat to Mel Gripps.
All right, Frank.
Frank Harmon. But you know, it's the circle of life. For every death, what happens, Psycho Mike?
Someone else is brought into this world.
That's what I'm talking about, and soon it will be the son of Clay Aiken.
Nope.
Apparently not. No. Well, apparently yes. Clay Aiken has impregnated a woman. But as you can imagine, being Clay Aiken and everything, it wasn't in the normal fun fashion. They created a baby together. No, he artificially inseminated a woman.
It ain't natural!
He donated his DNA to a 50-year-old woman named James Foster. Look, he couldn't even be with a girl that didn't have a male name. Her name is James Foster.
James.
He just couldn't manage to get near a woman unless at least she had a masculine-sounding name.
It even vibrates like real.
And she has been inseminated with Clay's... Aikens.
All right, little swimmers, right? Let me ask you guys this. You're a single woman who's at the age now where you're not likely to get pregnant, and you've never had children, and you've decided, I have to have children. So you think, ooh, I'm not going to adopt. I'm going to be artificially inseminated. You look around at the 6 billion people of the world, 3 billion of whom are men, and you choose Clay Aiken to be your sperm donor? That's the choice you make?
Well, the two have a relationship. They are best friends, according to TMZ.com. She is the sister of record mogul David Foster, who has a relationship with Clay. And apparently when Clay's in L.A., he stays at her house. Apparently they're very close, and so she tapped Clay, literally.
I think he had a better shot at going to a sperm bank.
I guess so, too. Clay says he wants to have an active role in raising the child as well, so...
Okay.
See The Office last week when Michael found out that Jan went to a sperm bank while she was dating him?
Yes.
Oh.
That was rough.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's passing up on the perfect woman for him, that new HR girl there in The Office, who obviously dates him, and they would be great together. Broke my heart. So, there you go. Clay Aiken's having babies. It's just the end of the world as we know it.
What the hell is going on here?
Good question.
Good question indeed. And Kristen Davis is looking for a man, star of Sex and the City, which opens today. I'm guessing it will... do you think it'll beat Indiana Jones this weekend? think it'll be the number one movie in America?
That's a great question. Obviously, 100% of the women in the world will go, right. But is that enough?
It's a 20-minute longer movie. So, for instance, at Sherman Oaks Arclight, it's only playing 12 times, whereas Indiana Jones is playing 24 times. So it's hard to say.
Mm. But is everyone who's gone to see Indiana Jones already gone last weekend?
I don't know. It's in an awful lot of theaters if they have.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the stars, Kristen Davis, tells In Touch magazine that she's lonely. She's looking for a man. She says she wants a man that can communicate, is creative, and likes independent women. Good luck. You're going to be alone for a long time, Kristen Davis. Might as well just join your Sex and the City co-star, the redhead. What's her name?
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton. Yeah, Nixon, yeah.
Yeah. Just if you want someone to communicate and is creative and likes independence, you better start dating a lesbian.
You got it.
Right.
Although lesbians aren't known for their independence, though, really.
Just keys.
You know what they say? You know what a lesbian brings on the second date?
What?
A moving van.
Hey.
They're quick to cohabitate.
They're clingy.
Yes, they enter into relationships rather quickly. Significantly.
What did you think was going to happen?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ted McGinley. He has been in everything. Married with Children, Happy Days, Hope and Faith, The Love Boat. The guy's just been around.
Yeah.
And let's not forget Revenge of the Nerds. He was the head of the bad fraternity. Remember that?
That's right.
50 years old today. Singer Wynonna Judd is 44 years old today. Tom Morello of Audioslave and Rage turns 44. And CeeLo of Gnarls Barkley celebrates his 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
As you see, the Lakers 100, the Spurs 92, as they defeat the defending NBA champion San Antonio Spurs.
That's the way it ended last night at Staples Center. So much better than having to go face the crowd in San Antonio. The Lakers are the Western Conference champions. 9-12, Kevin Abin, Sean Kerouac. Here's Kobe smiling ear to ear with the ceremony after the game.
What does it mean to you to stand here with this bunch and that trophy heading to the NBA Finals?
You know, this is a dream come true. It's a dream come true, man. It's such a blessing. And, you know, to have it, to share it with a group of guys that, you know, like brothers, it's an unbelievable feeling. It's an answer to prayer.
Laker fans couldn't be any happier today, and one of them I know is on the phone and is feeling the same emotion. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, back on the Kevin Abin, Sean Kerouac. Good morning, man. How are you?
Hello, Steve.
Good times. Good times at Staples Center, am I right?
It's a mighty fine time to be a Laker fan. I'm sitting here with my Laker mug, enjoying a nice tea, basking in the glory, brother.
You know, it's so funny. We were talking a few minutes ago off the air. Would anyone have predicted at the beginning of this season? And by the way, it was almost exactly a year ago this week that Kobe started making his demands to be traded. Who would have ever predicted a season that would have been successful, much less end up in the championship?
Well, certainly it's been a wild ride and a really dynamic season, but I'm so ridiculous that, you know, 3 years ago when they were below 500 three quarters of the way through the season and Kwame Brown was, you know, trading mistakes with Smush Parker, I was thinking they were going to win a championship. But you know, I'm a ridiculous Laker fan. I'm an absurd Laker fan. I'm an anomaly of an overly optimistic. You know, I make no sense whatsoever. So you should never listen to anything I say. But I'm really happy right now.
Sure, yeah. Now, how far back? I mean, you're a Los Angeles dude. Have you been a Lakers fan since you were old enough to understand basketball?
Yeah, well, I moved to L.A. in 1972 when I was 11 years old.
Okay.
And I was really into the Lakers right away. And then I kind of faded out for a little while. And when I was young, I wasn't, you know, I liked them, and I went to the games once in a rare while. But it wasn't, I didn't become very intense about it until about 1984. And since then, I haven't really missed a game.
Dude, about that?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Now, Kiedis has better seats than you, though, right?
What's that?
Kiedis has got better seats than you do, though, right?
Kiedis doesn't have seats.
What? Mike, you see him all the time over there, don't you?
I do. I see him. When I do see him there, he's in the front row. He couldn't have better seats.
Oh, but he has friends with seats.
Oh, that's what
those are some major benefits, then.
Now, yeah, Flea, you used to do a Laker blog. You don't do that anymore online, right?
No, I still do it. I don't do it as much because when I was on the road, it's something to do in the hotel room. But now that I'm at home with my family,
yeah,
it's just hard to find time to sit down and do it.
Has there been any point in the playoffs that you have been worried? The Lakers made it look so easy the last couple of rounds in particular. Did you always felt like this was going to be the year? Or did like when they went to San Antonio, they're the defending champions. Were you a little bit nervous about that matchup?
Well, you know, I was worried at Utah. When they lost a couple at Utah, I was concerned. That was rough, and it seemed like it could really swing any which way. I mean, Utah's a really dangerous team, that Deron Williams and Boozer when they get on, and you know, they play that tough pick and roll Jerry Sloan type of team ball. I was worried then, you know, but you know, they came back and won. And when they got down in the first game by 20, that was really rough. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I never give up. Like I said, I'm like absurdly optimistic. But when they got down by 20 against the Spurs, who play such solid ball, I was like, man, we can't come back from this. Not against the Spurs. And then when they did that, you know, when they came back and won that game, then I you know, I felt really good the whole time. And then they won by 30 in the next game, and it was just looking good. And you know, the third game was rough, but I think you kind of like, even the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, who were such an exciting team, every once in a while in the playoffs, they'd get blown out, you know, against a team
right.
that they should win. It just kind of happens, you know.
You know, one of the things that's great about sports, and one of the reasons that we all love it, we all follow it year after year, is that there's that indefinable thing, that chemistry between players. You can have a team that rules on paper, and then you can have a team that may not be as good just looking at it objectively, but there's something about these guys together. There's something about the combination of obviously Kobe as your leader, but you bring in a guy like Pau Gasol who just changes everything up. Lamar Odom was the right guy at the right time the last couple of seasons. I mean, it just seems like they really do play together as a team and really seem to enjoy each other as a team.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think that's something that you can really control. I mean, I think, you know, Kupchak and the Buss family or whoever's in charge over there, you know, they're doing a really good job of putting together a team, but I think there are, like you say, there are intangible things about chemistry that you can't control. And there's something about, you know, I think, you know, from Kobe, Carl on up, the team really has a good chemistry. You know, you have, you know, Kobe, who's this really hardworking, disciplined, like, best player on earth, who's just, like, so deep and intense of a basketball player. Then you have this wily Spaniard and Lamar, who's really emotional, kind of soulful dude, and Derek Fisher, who's this, like, pillar of stability and integrity type of guy, and crazy-ass Roni Turiaf, and, you know, energetic, you know, Jordan Farmar, and Didier Mbenga, who escaped from jail and, you know, made it out and is now playing in the Lakers. You know, it's a really wild team. And, you know, I think one of the other things that I really love about sports in general and about the Lakers is just that it brings everybody together, not just the team and the chemistry and that kind of magic, but it brings the whole city together, you know?
Yes.
It's like all ethnic brackets, all economic brackets, all kinds of people. Everyone can get behind this. Everyone waving their flags and coming together. It's a beautiful thing, you know, especially in a city like ours that is so separate in so many ways. I mean, our city's
true.
So big, but, you know, you go from, like, you know, Beverly Hills to Compton in a half hour, and, you know, we're really separate.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Now, as of the time of this interview, Flea, we still don't know who the Lakers are going to be playing in the finals. Now, a lot of people, of course, think just for nostalgia reasons, it would be great to see Los Angeles and Boston. There are other people who say they'd rather play Detroit because we have a better chance of winning. What are your thoughts?
I think either team is really tough, you know, but I think that, you know, since, you know, we lost to Boston a couple of times this year, but the you know, we never played them with the Pau team. And this team is really, our team has gained so much momentum. I think that we, you know, we match up really good against Boston right now. They have no answer for the length of Lamar because they got to deal with Pau. You know, and I we're deeper than Boston. I think we have a good chance against Boston, and I'm not underestimating Boston's a really tough team. You know,
yeah.
And I don't know, how would they win, like 65 games this year or something?
Yeah, they were insane this year. And by the way, say what you will about how surprising the Lakers were to be so great this year. Nobody predicted Boston was going to end up being with it. And they just came out of the gate just killing everybody. I mean, they have had an unbelievable year.
Yeah, they had an unbelievable year. But I think we have a good chance against them. And I would love to. I think we're going to end up playing Boston. I mean, they're up 3-2. And,
right.
Chauncey Billups and Richard Hamilton are kind of hobbled by injuries. And
Flea, let me ask you one more thing. We saw you last week at the game doing the national anthem in an unusual way. How did that come about?
Oh, I just you know, it's something that I've kind of done a few times over the years, and I told him I wanted to do it, and I did it, and, you know, it's a playing the anthem. It's terrifying, man. I mean, I could go on stage naked in front of 50,000 people and be fine, but you go out there by yourself and play the national anthem, it's kind of scary. It's like, I think sports people get really patriotic about it, and... You know, the first time I did it by myself was a long time ago, and I walked out there, and I was feeling pretty cocky and confident in my usual way.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got out there, I was shaking like a leaf. it's scary, but, you know, it was fun to do, and I just wanted to pump up the crowd and support my team and get into
Flea,
it.
Flea did it, for those who didn't see it, with his original instrument, I think, the trumpet. And I didn't know how much you still played it, but it sounded great.
Yeah, I've been playing it a lot. I've been playing it a lot, and... I really love playing my trumpet. It's kind of, actually, I'm playing it so much right now, it's kind of my childhood coming full circle and getting back into, you know, classical music and jazz and playing my trumpet a lot. And
all right, last question for you. No matter where the Lakers go, are you crazy enough that you'll try to go to that city and see the games in person, or are you going to be happy watching them on TV?
Well, I'm certainly crazy enough, but I don't know if my wife and my 2-year-old will appreciate that craziness.
I can understand that.
I kind of got to tend to the farm, you know.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. We knew how happy Laker fans were today, and we knew that you, of all people, would just be over the moon today. And I'm glad you came on and shared some thoughts with us today, dude.
Yeah, no, and certainly one could say with all certainty, woo! Go Lakers!
Thanks, Flea. See you later, man.
You're going back to the finals for the first time since 04. How does that feel to you?
It's exciting, man. We're all excited, you know. And I'm just happy for my guys, happy for the city. And we ain't done yet.
The Western Conference champion, Los Angeles Lakers.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067 is the number for Kevin and Bean's What to Do. You can go see the Flowbots at the Troubadour if you want, or Panic at the Disco at the Honda Center, STP at the Hollywood Bowl, Jimmy Eat World at the Avalon, your choice of great K-Rock concert tickets. Plus, we'll throw in a $50 gift card to Chili's.
Now, what else you got?
None of those
work for me.
What else you got? Let's try Mike in Yorba Linda, line 2, please, for Kevin and Bean's What to Do, nephew. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
What to do, nephew?
What did you, Mike?
I was just wondering if you guys heard about Tyra Banks boxing off some underwear and lingerie.
Do I need that? Is that something I need?
I don't know. It's kind of weird, though, to auction off, no? For breast cancer awareness?
Well, anything that's going to get money, I guess.
Bean, it's Tyra. It's not what you need. It's not what anyone needs.
Well, she's our favorite person, so.
Wouldn't a bra?
Sounds like something she would do.
It's for breast cancer? Wouldn't a bra make more sense?
It would.
That's what I said. I read on Yahoo 2 days ago.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Big for the tip, panties. I'm afraid it might be toxic somehow, too. I don't
have
know.
Have to bring them to you on a pallet with like a forklift to lower into your driveway.
Got some panties. Right.
Let's try Ben in Long Beach on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ben. What'd it do, nephew?
What's up,
Ben?
What?
It's a good day to be a Laker fan.
Oh, it is indeed. Absolutely.
Certainly is. You're right about that.
There's only one thing I hate, though.
What's that?
Marv Albert, a.k.a. Butter.
Yes!
Why do you hate him?
What is it with him? I mean, you know, Lakers do an impossible shot at all. Another 2 points for Lakers. But San Antonio goes, oh, my God, it's an impossible shot. It's a miracle. I just can't believe it. Just can't believe how one-sided his comments were.
Oh, really? Interesting, because I've seen a couple of the games. I have not recognized that bias. My complaint with Marv Albert is that there's no such thing as a less than exciting moment in basketball. He gives the same level of enthusiasm to a buzzer beater that wins the game to Kobe's taking a drink of water. I don't believe it.
Yeah, everything is exciting for him.
Everything is over the top with him. That's my biggest problem with Marv, and you know, biting up the women too, obviously. But
obviously.
Yeah. I'll keep my eyes peeled for that in the finals. Thank you very much for the call.
Yes!
All right, let's talk to Jenner. We got to give some love to our gay listeners out there today. Hi, Jenner. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Hey, fellas. Hey, Lisa.
Hi. Jenner calls all the time, and he mostly calls about sports.
Don't you, Jenner? Well, guys, yeah, usually, but you know what?
That's the Sparks, usually, right? The L.A. Sparks, as they usually call it.
Softball, women's softball.
You guys. Go ahead,
right,
Jim.
Well, listen, you're looking at this all wrong, this whole Sex and the City movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping there's going to be a Sex and the City movie, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I hope we give it 4 martinis in that Cosmos. Listen, this is what happened. Tonight, she doesn't want me to go to the movie. It's one of those movies I don't have to go see,
right.
Finally.
Right.
A chick flick I don't have to see. She's not going to pressure me to see it. She doesn't even want me to go. She's going to go out with the girls. I get to hang out with the boys.
Right.
It's a win-win situation. Come on.
Couldn't agree more.
It's true. Oh, so you're saying the reason you're excited that the Sex and the City movie is here is not because you want to go see it. It's because it gets her out of the house and gives you a free night.
Gives me a free pass. No guilt. No phone calls. What are you doing? Any girls there? Nope. Just me, baby.
Yeah.
That'll
you know, okay. That's true. But 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
You could totally bang another chick in that 2 hours.
That's right. Yeah. All right. I misinterpreted. When I saw you were calling happy about the movie, I just assumed that you and your other gay boyfriends were going to be going to see it. But now I understand where you're coming from. I appreciate your effort. Thank you so much.
All right.
Let's close with Diana, who's got a great story to end the week on. Diana is in Paramount on line 5. We only have a few seconds, Diana, but what happened to you?
Okay, well, it was just a couple nights ago, and I was just walking out for exercise. When a guy asked me for directions, and when I looked down, he flashed his penis.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I hope he started laughing.
It was really shocking. I was shocked and disgusted. Plus, I'm a lesbian. I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see it, and I'm not a lesbian.
That's awesome.
It's not the way you want to see a penis.
No, not it's a great story.
It's great if you're a flasher, if you flash a lesbian. That's like a double burn right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's fantastic. All right. Thank you for ending our week on such a high note. We appreciate it. Speaking of ending the week on a high note, if you missed it earlier this morning, intern Beer Mug came very close. And I know this sounds ridiculous if you've heard him fail in the past at the World Challenge Eating Records. He came very close to breaking a world record this morning on the Kevin Bean Show.
Yeah.
Producer Lighting was there. It is videoed. It will be up on KROQ.com within the hour. Not only the challenge of him trying to down the Tabasco sauce 5.5 ounces in 30 seconds, but his reversal apparently is also captured on film.
Yeah. So his guts didn't react well to that attempt.
But it took like a half hour for the reversal to happen.
With Berlin inside of him.
Yep.
You can see all of that at KROQ.com. Monday morning, it's an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. The return of Kevin, we think, will also have red carpet interviews from the MTV Movie Awards, and a band that's going to be playing on that show Sunday will be in our studio Monday morning. Please join us as Coldplay stops by. Coldplay will be here for their first new interview in, what, like 3 years or something like that. So that's going to be a big show Monday. Thanks for listening. Have a terrific weekend, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Roll another one.
Smoke weed.
Just like the other one.
Marijuana's bad.
Good. This one seems to be about to quit.
Can I buy some?
I need another hit.
Oh, I almost forgot. Our pal Kat Corbett is coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the latest from Scars on Broadway. That's called They Say. Also Nirvana, Finger 11, Papa Roach, and the White Stripes. Straight ahead.
Roll, roll, roll.
I wish you wouldn't smoke weed.
Just like the other one.
Munchies.
This one seems to be about
to end. Dr. Zulu.
I have another cent.
Those people that say that marijuana is a gateway drug, we say, yeah, a gateway to good times.
Bam,
Florida?
Just pass it around.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, Gina?
Shut up!
Balls.
Just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
With all due respect, I can't listen to this anymore.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.
I want to tell you all what an honor it's been to work with such a dedicated and focused group as you have all proved to be. I'm enormously grateful for everything you did. But it's time for us to stop.
La 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 la. Go away. I will be gone by the end of the day. Get out of my face.
Put your clothes on and get out of here. You're going home.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying,
Listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.